Blog Talk Radio.
This one is two songs by Miriam Mama Makeba. The first one is called Kilimanjaro. So I'll play the first one on the Ohadi, which is this beautiful Kasapo, and then we move on to the second one where we have the rhythm section chosen from the Mambo.
Ilanga lishoni Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. This here is episode 374 of season 7. Okay, we got the one and only Brother Che Nkrumah, also known as Jesse Paris, is our co-producer and co-executive producer tonight. And we are speaking of current situations. This is open mic discussion, okay, and this is PG-13, so please let us curtail our language a little bit, is because this is going to be an episode that's going to piss everybody off. And unfortunately, our chat room is not working, so therefore, you know, follow Shabaka EXP on Twitter, and please leave your hate mail right there, comments, insults, and what have you, because everybody has a right to free speech. Greetings there to your brother Che. How you being? How things happening there in the Mile High Income City? Brother Che? Okay, Brother Che. Okay, your mic is unmuted, sir. Okay, please join in when you can. And once again, is that they are always a shadow banding us and things of that nature right there. And it is what it is. Okay. So Hurricane Hillary, you know, smashed Southern California. Great news. It turned the city of Palm Springs into a sewer. It's because, as we all know, Denver is a mile high above sea level, and Palm Springs, California, is in the low desert, which is 1 mile below sea level. So just off the law of physics, it had to get inundated. Okay. They cannot talk about no water shortage in California. I refuse to listen and to believe, you know, that human excrement, commonly referred to as bullshit. Okay. Also, too, our man, the dump. You know, he's being hit with 91 charges, and they're supposed to hook him in, book him in, have him take mug shots and stuff like that, and they're going to segregate him. But, however, he should be placed into the general population of the Fulton County Jail, I believe, down there in Atlanta. But he won't. He still has Secret Service protection, unfortunately, and they should take that there away from him. And it's going to be a big old mockery right there. Okay, so we got a couple of unknown callers here. We're going to unmute their mics and see what's on their mind. Okay, we got two unknown callers, you know, chime in with your comments and introduce yourselves and what's on your mind.
Well, I hope I won't be unknown for long. I intend to, provided you allow me, to make myself known barely.
Okay, and this is the one and only Sarge. Okay, you still there, Sarge?
Can you hear me? Yes,
sir. I can hear you. Okay, all right, we hear Sarge, and then we have another unknown caller. And just press one, and we'll let you join in the conversation. Okay, Sarge, we know, man, that you got a lot to say. Okay, all right, come on with it, Sarge.
Well, look, man, I want to follow up from your comments on Brother Gibson's show just recently, because I'm always very concerned when I hear anyone proposing federal troops on the streets of the United States absent an invasion by a foreign power or a complete, utter, and total breakdown of the civilian authority in the area where it is necessary to institute martial law. It always disturbs me when I hear this. Especially for a crime problem that is entirely self-imposed by the people run these Democrat cities that allow this situation to get out of control the way they did. I think it is utterly unnecessary. I mean, utterly. All you have to do is let the police do the job and encourage them to do so in a constitutional and lawful, ethical manner.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Oh, they have muted me out or something. I have to go out the studio and come back in. We got a whole bunch of stuff to look like.
Okay, fine. Like they were going to call in.
Three unknown callers, and then we got Joe Gibson. He got his hand raised.
Okay, we'll unmute Joe. Okay, we'll unmute Joe. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Welcome. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another night of controversy here on Shabaka's Black Experience. And, you can follow us here.
Shabaka.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to reinforce. You got to remember, I was an operations sergeant in a military police National Guard type. My job was to plan for the institution of martial law, state and federal martial law, should such a situation have to come to pass. And believe me, sir, knowing what I know of the Illinois statute regarding instituting martial law, that's something you don't want to happen unless you have no other choice if other states have similar statutes, to say nothing of the Federal Uniform Code of Military Justice and what the manual for court martial says about martial law. You don't want it.
Okay. All righty. Now, also, too, Sarge, I want to emphasize
somebody got background noise.
Okay. And, okay, and I'm hearing somebody's phone ringing in the back.
Yeah, how many times we got I'm pretty sure it's not me with the background noise, but I know I did ask a couple people to call in, but I don't think they'll raise their hand. They're just going to listen, so.
Okay, which is great, which is beautiful. Okay, and also, too, ladies and gentlemen, here in Black History, August the 22nd, 1989, a gentleman who was born in Monroe, Louisiana, was shot and killed in Oakland, California in the wee hours of the morning. And, of course, we do know his impact on history, and our condolences go out there to the family of Dr. Huey P. Newton,
who was
murdered in Oakland on this date in 1989. Also, too, we got Sarge, we got Joe Gibson, and I want to crumb bomb on Larry Elders. And Larry Elders, if you're listening, call in, because Elders, you are a punk. Also, to have that brain dead Negro, Leo Terrell, call in, and also to Uncle Tim Scott, you're welcome to call in as well, too, with your
and Mark Thompson as well. Mark Thompson, you're welcome to call in. Cameron, you're welcome to call in, too.
Okay, and Bianchi is welcome to call in. Boy, man, we got a whole bunch of unknown callers right here tonight. Oh, man, we got 1, 2, 3 unknown callers. Okay, so please place your hand up, you know what I'm saying, and we got Sarge, okay, and Sarge, if he doesn't go AWOL on us, he's going to be hosting Grand Rising with Shabaka, you know. In the next 3 days, okay, and that day will be 11 a.m. your time, Sarge, so you'll be up. Okay,
I got
Sarge,
Sarge
is on the line. Okay, all right, Mr. Co-Executive Producer, go on there, man, and ask Sarge your questions. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. We are a division of Frontline Black News, and our opening intro that you heard was called African Sunset by the one and only Mama Africa, Miriam Makeba. And, of course, you know, may she rest in power, you know what I'm saying? It took me forever to upload this song right here. And we have other tracks as well, too, from James Brown and what have you. And then, of course, as you know, for us old birds, you know, who are around in the late 1960s, it was definitely the sizzling 60s, a decade of change. And then also, too, I want to crumb bum on that raggedy-ass institution called Hollywood, California. Yes,
I agree with you there.
Gentlemen. Yeah, and hopefully...
First things first,
y'all,
Shabaka, I got to get my questions off to Sarge. So, Sarge, we just had a sergeant here in DPD Police Department retire. She's claiming racism and sexism within the department. She was on the force for 25 years. What are your thoughts on that, Sarge? And also, what are your thoughts on the murderers of Tyre Nichols getting their cases reduced or not found guilty or the trial delayed? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't believe there's been a trial in the case of the Nichols case. I still believe that they're in the process of making pretrial. None of those cases have gone to trial yet. I don't think there's been any pretrial pleas or bargains yet. There may have been some motions that are
not guilty, Sarge.
Well, that's standard. I mean, they're assumed innocent until they're proven guilty. So, I mean, that's standard to plead innocent.
You're not guilty of whatever charges
the state is accusing you of. That's standard.
Sarge,
we
all watched the video. They literally killed that man on tape.
Yeah, but we can't convict people based on a tape.
Wait a minute, are you saying that they should have pled guilty?
Yeah, if they had any sense about them, but no, it's the police and you're Mr. 12.
Well, I understand why you would feel that way, but they have an absolute right to require that the state prove their guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's somebody I arrested. Because they have an absolute right to claim innocence and have the state prove their case guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. I mean, I'm not going to quibble about them pleading not guilty. The state should be prepared to prove their guilt. And if they do, they should receive the appropriate punishment.
Okay, which should be the death penalty, Sarge, is because they knew what they were doing. And then to find out, too, Sarge, there was something personal about it because it appears that Mr. Nichols was having an affair with one of those officers' ex-wives. Mm-hmm.
Well, consider what the charge
like
was, the very nature. Well, the very nature of the charges against them precludes the death penalty. No, but the very nature of the charges against them precludes the death penalty. You can't get the death penalty for second-degree murder.
Sarge.
So what is it going to take to prove first-degree murder, Sarge?
A case wherein the district attorney or the state's attorney thinks they have sufficient elements of the offense to prove the elements of first-degree murder. That is intent.
Intent is a specific requirement of first-degree murder. So are you saying currently?
I'm not saying that there isn't. I'm saying that they have to be able to prove it. I'm not saying that there isn't. I don't know. I'm saying that first-degree murder is a specific intent crime, and it requires you prove that the defendant had a specific intent to kill the individual. Not just that it can happen because they wanted to hurt him real bad.
Okay, hold on, Sarge. But, you know, and I don't mean no disrespect to the woman, man, but Mr. Nichols, man, was screwing one of these guys' ex-wife. So I can build up a foundation. Hold on, Sarge, hear me out. And I only had one course in concepts of criminal law, so which means is they part of this elite squad called the Scorpion Unit. Just the name inflicts terror on you, just like what they had there in Los Angeles called Crash. Resources against street hooligans. I mean, just look at the connotation of this name. So they found
Chewbacca, what you just introduced is motivation for those police officers to attack and harm him. That is indication of their state of mind. That is not in and of itself a statement of intent to kill him.
That's
you got to come up with something better than that.
No, that's mens rea. That's mens rea, Sarge.
Okay, but Sarge.
That's not enough. I guarantee you that's not enough.
Okay, but these guys knew each other. They were like homeboys. So they, in other words, Sarge, what they were exhibiting was gang mentality, man, except that they was behind one of the most notorious gangs in Memphis, Tennessee.
Weren't they getting hit with a RICO charge, Sarge?
There's no death penalty attached to a RICO charge unless it involves drug trafficking or deliberate intent to murder. And you haven't shown that with anything you've said yet.
So there wasn't deliberate intent to murder. They didn't even have a reason to pull him over, Sarge. What was their problem?
Yeah, that, again, that does not hold up for attempt to murder. You got to come up better than this. There's not a judge in the world going to accept that.
Okay, what was their intent? What was their probable cause?
For more than 15 minutes. Yeah, what's the probable cause that they
did? You're coming up with reasons as to why everything they did was criminal and not valid. You are giving me reasons for that. You are not giving me reason to charge them with first-degree murder.
Yeah, we're giving you aggravated circumstances, Sarge. So what was the probable cause?
That's when you find him guilty of murder.
Those are included offenses.
You're talking about included offenses of aggravation. I'm talking about things that go to proving intent to murder.
I'm talking about aggravated
first-degree murder charge.
Love it, ladies and gentlemen.
I felt the same way you have about a lot of people that I saw get locked up, and I wanted them to get the death penalty. At the same time, I understand my emotions are not enough to get someone charged under the law, because the law has specific elements of an offense, one of which have to be met in order to find the person guilty.
It's really not blind.
Okay.
It's not blind.
Okay,
it's not colorblind. It's not none of that shit. But,
exactly.
Sarge, I'm still waiting on the probable cause. And also, can you answer my first question? What are your thoughts on the sergeant, Carla Harvard, leaving the DPD, the Denver Police Department, after 25 years, citing racism, white supremacy, and sexism as her reasons for leaving the force?
Since I know nothing of this case, I'm going to have to rely upon you to fill in some details for me and tell me what was the basis of her complaint and what did she say.
She said that the DPD, the Denver Police Department, was racist, white supremacist against her and other whistleblowers on the force that just so happened to be black and just so happened to be women.
Okay.
That's what she said? Did she offer any specifics as to why she believes it? Just saying it's supposed to be enough.
Yes, she did offer specific charge. She offered intimidation. She offered the fact that they were kept moving her around. Originally, she was on the sweeps. She used to do the sweeps. And then she became a problem over there on the hot team because she was too much for the people and not just for standing around harassing people and disturbing them as they get paid time and a half to do. And there's no record being kept of their presence at these sweeps. But we know they're at the sweeps, i.e. cleanups. And then she cited sexism. The chief, who just so happens to be black too, he's not doing anything to help her. The association, the police, Carla Harvard.
Carla Harvard, H-A-R-V-E-D?
C-A-R-L-A.
Last name?
Harvard.
H-A-R-V-E-D.
Like the school.
Harvard University. Okay, all righty. Okay, we got Beverly Harvard, police chief, city of Harvard, police department, AI, and it's bullshit. It's got everything up there, but, okay, wow, this is bad, okay. Oh, boy, okay, yeah, man, you clowns over there in Silicon Game Valley and your bullshit. Okay, go ahead, Brother Che, because I can't pull it up here, man. I think they're throwing a monkey wrench in the works again. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
They're always doing that.
Drop knowledge. Okay.
So Sergeant files federal complaint alleging systematic racism, sexism within the Denver Police Department. I'm trying to read the article.
Yes, sir.
Because she was on a Jeff Fart show a couple of weeks ago.
Jeff Fart, F-A-R-T.
Yeah.
That joker. Okay, yeah. Sad case. And Mr. Fart, you're welcome to call in as well, too. Please send me your hate mail and definitely check out our like page at Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced on Facebook. And you can also send us your hateful tweets at Chewbacca's Capital EXP on Stinky Bird or the Getting Ready to Turn It to X. And then also, too, and let me say this right here, and I do not recognize Musk as no African. He's a bore. I just want to make that perfectly clear to quote another crooked-ass president by the name of old Tricky Dick. You know what I'm saying? And may he rest in piss as well, too.
Okay,
and
so
then
she
we'll
filed this suit.
Go ahead.
She filed this suit about a year ago now, and she says she alleges a culture of omnipotent and rampant sexism and misogyny in the Denver Police Department. And she's also citing discrimination based off race, retaliation, sex, and disability. And she's filing, this is a federal court filing she's doing. She's a 25-year veteran of the Denver Police Department. She filed a lawsuit claiming the agency has a rampant culture of racism, white supremacy, because that's the only racism that exists is white supremacy. Let's not get that tangled
right.
and twisted. There is no two
right.
supremacy.
There's no such thing as
There's
black racism?
There's only one. No.
No, Joe, it isn't.
We don't,
how
we don't
that
have.
Be?
How can it be?
Okay,
how could it be, Joe? Joe. What institutional power do we have to enforce any of our prejudice onto you?
You might want to
oh,
ask
wait.
Fonnie Willis about that. Ask what institutional
on.
Power Fonnie Willis has.
What?
She's indicted a
power.
Former president of the United States.
Sorry, he said
Sarge, you can't be serious.
Wait a minute, you asked me what institutional power do black people have. I just gave you an example of it.
Sarge, collectively. I'm not talking about individually.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, hold on a minute. Hold on. This is the United States. We don't live in Yugoslavia.
Yeah, the United States
you don't,
white
there's
supremacy.
No such thing as collective
the
racial
United
power.
States, the United
there
States
is,
of
there
white
is,
supremacy. Sarge.
Wait a minute.
No,
there
Sarge.
Is no
Sarge.
Such thing as collective racial power in the United States.
Stop lying, Sarge.
Sarge.
This
okay.
system is
Sarge.
So we're not individuals in America? We're not individual? We
no,
can't be judged as individuals?
Joe, no. We're not going to do that. We're going to be judged by the content of our character and not the color
yes.
of our skin. We're not going to do that,
yes.
Joe. No.
So I should not be judged for what someone else did?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, Joe.
Yes,
no.
You can,
no,
Joe.
Are you serious?
Benefited off of
yes,
it, Joe.
I'm dead serious.
No, but Joe, on a collective basis, Joe, you still benefited off of it. It's because as we had pulled up the last time that you was with us, is the fire hoses down in Wilmington, North Carolina, doing the early 1960s, doing the sit-in movement. Same thing down in Alabama, Georgia, Emmett Till in Mississippi and what have you, Carolyn Bryant. Same things that went on there in California where they burned down Taft, California. The same thing there with Biddy Mason of what she went through there, being hauled to California to mine gold, although California was not a slave state. Okay, so go ahead, Brother Che. Joe, stay with us. We are going to unmute your mic. Stay with us, Sarge. We're going to unmute your mic. And then, you know, for other callers right there, you know, just please press 1 and we'll be happy to have you on the air. The chat room, you know, was closed tonight on us, you know, so once again, they're shadow banning us.
I'm in it, Chewbacca, and I just want to make this perfectly clear. You're not going to talk
yes.
over the host. You're not going to interrupt the host. So you will speak when asked to be spoken to. With that being said, racism, white supremacy, which is the only supremacy because there can't be two supremacies. There can't be black supremacy and there can't be white supremacies. That's a contradictory of terms. So, with that being said, white supremacy, which is the only racism that exists in this world, in all 9 areas of human activity, education, entertainment,
okay.
labor,
okay.
law,
okay.
politics,
okay.
economics, sex,
okay.
war, and religion, and some would say
okay.
health, all 9,
okay.
10 areas of human activity.
Uh-huh.
We don't control
uh-huh.
any of those areas. So until we control
right.
any of those areas, we can't be racist.
Right.
We can be prejudiced,
okay.
but the difference between racism and prejudice is you dislike somebody because of whatever reason, but racism is prejudice plus institutional power to enforce said
right.
prejudice. We collectively do not have that. But you know who does? White people, Europeans. Y'all have that. You have a whole system of benefits, guarantees, and giveaways based off the color of your skin. Not off your merit, not off the what work you put in or supposedly put
or
in.
Or the content of your character.
Or the content of your character by the color of your skin. That is this country's, that is based off this country's founding. This country was founded off of that. And when you rearrange America, it literally spells out, I am race. So, yes, this is a racist country, Tim Scott, Kamala Harris.
Okay.
It is a racist country, and it's been a racist country since its founding. So you can miss me with that bullshit about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all that other gibberish that y'all white supremacists on the right, because understand white supremacy is left and right. You white supremacists on the right that love to bring that, this is the republic, and this, this, and that. We built this country. We built your republic. You wouldn't have a republic to even... brag about if it wasn't for the blood, sweat, and toil of my ancestors. So I hope we got that clear. And Joe Gibson's in the chat talking about you cannot make up your own facts. I'm not making up facts. I'm speaking facts. There's a big difference of making up something and actually speaking something that's true. I'm speaking the truth, Joe. I don't care about your white fragility. I don't care how you feel about it. This is a black platform. If you don't like it, you can bounce. You don't have to be here, Joe. You can go to the Republic show. We have this when we are so stupid, weak, and inbred. Yeah, you are. Well, I didn't invite you, Joe. I was invited. I don't know why you would invite white supremacists to the program, Chewbacca, but you got feedback or something, Chewbacca.
I do. Okay. All righty. Let me see right here. Okay.
Did you want to piggyback off of anything I just said?
Yes, sir. You know, you're absolutely correct in all what you said, Brother Che. And the reason, you know, why, you know, I invite Joe on the show is because, you know, him and Sarge, they do bring some dynamism to it. Also, too, to mention the fact that there's supposed to be quote-unquote racial healing.
Because you're unable to have a conversation. It's and. You forgot the D, Joe. If you're going to talk crap in the chat, at least spell correct before you make a comment. He said, because you're unable to have a conversation, there's no D in conversation, Joe, and proven wrong. You haven't proven anything, Joe. You just proven how ignorant you are.
Okay, and then
you just proved how much
of
a white supremacist you are.
Okay, yeah. And
you're not even a
suspected
white supremacist. You are a white supremacist.
Okay.
You're not suspected no more. How can when he meet me? Yeah, because you're talking over the host, Joe. You're interrupting the host. Act like you have some decorum, Joe.
Okay, let's unmute his mic and see what he's got to say in regard to that, Brother Che.
Yeah, what's the question?
Okay, Joe. Okay, as the gentleman, you know, has stated, this gentleman is very, very well-read, number one. This gentleman as well, too, you know, is educated, you know, such as yourself, you know, and what have you. But, Joe, okay, I agree with everything, you know, what Brother Che, you know, has just said. It's because, see, Joe, what happens is, why does America turn a blind eye, you know, to the brutalization of black people in this country? Is because I get insulted and stuff all the time in my inbox, you know, white folks says, oh, F your reparations and all that, you wasn't born a slave and all this old type of crap. And then just like the brain dead, ass scratching Negroes, Tim Scott and Larry Elders and Leo Terrell, your gentlemen are welcome to call in as well, too. Okay, see, Joe, you have to understand,
is that when you had the Willie Lynch Doctrine way back in 1712, and as Brother Che knows it very well, if you implement these methods, okay, of demasculating the black male in the presence of the black female, dividing young and old, divide male and female, having them reverse roles, you will control them for the next 300 years. And I ask you people, this is 2023. So it's been more than 300 years, and Lynch's doctrine was proven, I hate to say it. I mean, look at Barack Obama when he was running for president. Oh, no, there'll be no reparations. Okay, but yet, though, he turns around and wants to come to the black community on the Democratic side and want us to vote for him, but he's not doing nothing specifically, as Brother Che says, for foundational black Americans who built this country off the sweat and labor of their blood. And then not to mention, too, Joe, the intellectual property that was stolen from him as well, too, is because, as you know, when the slave had a great idea or what have you, the slave master automatically owned it. That's why they created the patent office. You see what I mean? And let's look at the folding chair that was utilized so very, very well down in Montgomery,
yeah,
Alabama.
Yeah, shout out to Nathaniel Alexander.
yes, sir. You see what I'm saying? And he proved it to be a multi-purposeful device. And even Sark has proved something else that could be a multi-purposeful device, the napkin holder. You see what
yep.
I'm saying? Yes, innovation. You know, and that old song, as you remember, Brother Che, oops, upside your head. You see
yep.
what I'm saying? So, all right, Joe, so you got the floor. Then we're going to unstar.
Well, what's the, well, I don't know. What was the question? I mean, what's the direct question? Was there was a, that was loaded, I mean, with many different topics, dozens of them, actually. So which one in particular
okay.
would you like me to answer?
Okay. Okay, okay. First of all, Joe, you're against reparations, okay? It's because you said all that happened so long ago. But however, Joe, you still have not yet to address the fact of how slavery had contributed to the gross national product of the United States, man, ever since its inception and even before there was the United States. Now, Sarge says that he is not interested in nothing that happened in America until 1776. Now, my question is to quote the indigenous people of Denver, Colorado, and in Colorado, when on every Columbus Day, where they go up there in front of the Colorado State Capitol, which is across from Denver City Hall, and they had stated publicly on the news, now how are you going to say that this drunken, filthy savage by the name of Christopher Columbus discovered America when somebody was already on the shores here? Riddle me that, Joe.
Okay, okay. Well, for starters, if I can, if you don't mind, you made a comment there that blacks in created the patent office in the United States, that it was created
no.
because of the
no,
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 Joe.
No, Joe. That's not what
he said.
He
said white America created the patent office to steal the patent from black inventors.
You why? Well, can I ask you a question? Why would they
sure.
want to create the patent office in 1790? To steal from the black man, because if you were enslaved at that time, why would they want to reinforce? I mean, it makes no sense. Why would they have to reinforce anything?
Okay, but
what do you mean? Why would they have to reinforce anything?
Okay, okay, but too, Joe, you have to look at that Washington D.C. Joe, the planning person who made it out and designed it was a black man by the name of Benjamin Banneker, and he was a
Banneker.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
it
was that
Harmon
Albanac too. Harmonet.
You see, Joe, and then what happens too, Joe, is I stated on your platform that when we were down there in Kemet and also had one of the greatest universities in Timbuktu called the University of
that's the first
Barbara.
University. They had no universities
yes,
like that in no damn Europe. They didn't get those until after the fact.
Uh-huh.
Well,
exactly. Go ahead.
Well, I believe that the U.S. Patent Office was created on July 31st, 1790. That was because of the U.S. Patents and Registration trademarks, and there was a lack, and it lacked novelty, and that's why they created
no,
the patent.
Sir. No,
yes.
No, Joe, that is not why. You know what else happened in 1790, Joe?
What's that?
Slavery was abolished in the North.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, I believe, Maine, and even Ohio and Biden's state of Delaware. Well, yeah, I wish Mad Dr. D was with us because that was out of his neck of the word.
Yeah, but the Article 1, Section 8 of Clause 8, Commerce Clause.
Everything that you said before that, you just negated. When you say but, you negate everything you said before that. So there is no but.
Okay, well, if that's what you want to believe, I can't change your mind, but facts are facts. I mean, you know,
I
don't know
facts.
What else to say.
You have no facts.
Well, explain, can you explain them?
You didn't even know that slavery ended in 1776, 1790 in the North. What facts do you have?
Last time I checked, I thought slavery was outlawed. It was, what year was that? Was it after the Civil War? I thought that's when it was outlawed throughout the country.
No, I'm talking about in the North. Not in the South, Joe. I keep confusing you with SARS because you keep saying the same kind of stuff you do. Joe, no.
Okay.
You don't even know that basic history and you're running for state office?
Well, you see, because those issues don't really affect the governing
of
day-to-day issues today.
You. They don't affect you. That's all that is.
How does it affect you?
You or your lineage. What do you mean, how does it affect me?
Yes, slavery in 1790.
We're still under slavery. Just because they ended it on paper.
Still under slavery.
Yeah, just because they ended it
on
paper.
How did it end then?
It
did. You said it ended.
It did.
Oh, so it didn't end.
On paper it ended in the North.
Oh.
In the North.
Okay.
And there was more lynchings in the North than there was in the South.
Okay.
Yeah, got a point on that. Okay, here, the United States Patent and Trademark Office, USPTO, is an agency in the United States Department of Commerce that serves as the National Patent Office and Trademark Registration Authority for the United States and is headquartered, of all places, Alexandria, Virginia. And after a 2005 move from the Crystal City area of neighboring Arlington, Virginia, the Patent Office is responsible for granting patents and registering trademarks. The first patent was issued on July 31st, 1790 to Samuel Hopkins for an improvement in the making of pot ash and pearl ash by a new apparatus and process. Okay, then you got some links here if you want to go off into it. Okay, in America, writing the history of the U.S. patent law, in America, in the early colonial period, there were no general laws providing for the issuing of patents. However, people who invented new products could appeal to the colonial governments, which could grant them exclusive commercial rights to the products, and earliest of such rights granted in the colonies was in the great state of Massachusetts in 1641. Well, see, Sarge, go ahead, Joe.
Just on his facts, slavery actually ended in 1827. It was the first state was New York.
1790.
Joe. It was 1790, Joe. Okay. And then on top of it as well, too, you have to study a woman, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Che, Sojourner Truth. Was she not a slave up there in New Jersey or in the New England states, if my memory of research from years ago serves me correct?
Yeah, the one I am, ain't I a woman?
Yeah, yes. And so there you go. She was also a woman's rights advocate as well, too. Now, I wonder, what was her name that was on the Titanic that they gave her credit for women's rights? Molly somebody.
Molly Brown. We got the Molly Brown house here in Denver.
Right, okay. And then when the Titanic went down, you know, she was one of the people saved in the lifeboats as well, too. And then, too, folks, not to mention on research that I've done, those who were black who traveled on the Titanic were stuck down there in the hull, and they didn't let them get off there as well, too.
Oh,
so
we were both wrong. It was 1780. Massachusetts was actually the first New England state to abolish slavery.
Exactly.
So that's earlier than I even said, 1780.
Okay, and wasn't that a few years after our man Crispus Attucks had gotten shot, man, in the Boston Massacre?
Yep.
Okay, now let me ask you this here, Joe. Okay, when people of African descent, and by the way, on our intro, ladies and gentlemen,
1790 was when you know what the significance of 1790 is as well? That was the first U.S. census. That was the first federal U.S. census.
Okay.
And all right, I'll go along with that for now until I haven't read anything contrary, but I'll take your word for it.
Okay, yeah.
Take Google's word for it in the Washington Post.
Yes, and
I don't know about getting my facts from the Washington Post, but you know, or
okay,
Google for that matter. But
take the History Channel.
Okay, and then also two folks are just
National Geographic.
Okay,
the Encyclopedia.
Okay, and we're going to still stay on our subject right here, but I just wanted to ask Joe and Sarge,
yes,
what did you think of our newest intro on our audio clips tonight? And you might not have understood the language. It was a combination of Xhosa and Zulu, and it was sung by the one and only Ms. Miriam Makeba called The African Sunset. Now, I see Joe.
I caught the ending of it, Chewbacca.
I'm sorry?
I caught the ending of it.
All right.
You got serious feedback, Chewbacca.
Oh.
Yes, very bad.
Okay. All right. Let me try something right here. Okay. Please continue with the show, Brother Paris. I'm going to try something else.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
All right, Joe.
Is Sarge
so
still
what
with
are
us?
Thoughts?
I mean, I don't know if he's still with us or not.
I could bring him back on.
Oh,
whichever
okay.
one of these
I...
numbers is him. Sarge, is that you?
Boy, y'all in the hush of my mouth, ain't you?
Well, you know, you and Joe Gibson let the gang up on us, so we got to take y'all one at a time. But go ahead, Sarge.
All right, let me just straighten out a few things and make things clear, because I love clarity. But I'd like you to know, Chewbacca, I am interested in everything in human history before 1776. Everything that I can learn, but I'm not going to hold the United States responsible for anything before July 4, 1776. That's what I said. They're not responsible for anything before July 4, 1776. Not that I'm not interested in it, because I am. Next, there were four Union slave states.
What are you talking about, Sarge? Are you talking about the corporation or the actual country?
Okay, the United States, which exists from 1776 to the present, that United States. Now, let me go on with the Union. There were four Union.
You're not going to count the 13 colonies? Or are you counting the 13 colonies?
The 13 colonies were British nations. They were part of the British. They were colonies of Great Britain. Then after July 4, 1776, the United States declared itself to be an independent nation. So that's what I'm going to
include any of the indigenous nations, Sarge? Are you going to include any of the maroon colonies, Sarge?
I'm including every single molecule and centimeter of soil within those 13 states, every single centimeter.
So you're going back to 1619?
No. What did I just say? I thought I was clear as a bell. Let me try it again. I'm going to be very clear. This is what I mean. I mean, I will not hold the United States for any treaty, any atrocity, any benefit, any good, nothing, until July 4, 1776, when it formally came into being.
So you're not gonna blame the Continental Congress. What about the Continental Congress, Sarge?
Sir, they created the United States. Remember, the Constitution did not exist; it was not ratified until 1787. But we still had a United States from 1776 to 1787,
and thereafter, or you're gonna start it at 1776.
The United States existed in 1787,
but
so I'm holding
the
United States responsible for everything within its jurisdiction at that time.
But the Constitution wasn't ratified until
1787. The United States existed in 1787. They are responsible for everything after July 4th, 1776. So, yes, that would include that.
Do those policies really take effect on you today?
Wait a minute. Let me finish what I have been trying to say, Joe. Let me finish this now. Look. There were four slave union states. The four slave union states were Kentucky, Missouri, Delaware, and Maryland. Delaware stayed in the Union, but it was a slave state.
No, sorry.
Yes, it was.
Missouri was a fugitive slave state. That means if they caught you in Missouri, they could send you back.
That's why I said they also allowed slavery in Missouri. It was formally allowed in Missouri. Now, the northern states that got rid of slavery in 1780, Pennsylvania abolished slavery.
Okay,
New Hampshire, Massachusetts abolished slavery in 1783. Connecticut and Rhode Island in 1784. Vermont abolished slavery in 1777 while it was independent.
On paper, Sarge. Yes, on paper they did.
Well,
you know,
yes, that's the only way it got legally.
But you know damn well it still continued on a whole century later.
Okay, we can have this argument.
Did it on paper, Sarge. Don't mean that it was actual reality.
Well, that's where it begins.
Because you know the law is only as good as its enforcement, Sarge.
I understand that. But that's where it begins. Everything has to have a beginning. And then it realized it perfectly until it's finally fixed completely. That's the way things are in human affairs.
Has it been fixed completely?
All right, so again.
The Constitution ain't even been updated in 247 years.
No, it's been amended 27 times since the game existed. It has been updated 27 times. To include everyone. There's not a single constitutional amendment that's not applied to every citizen of the United States.
Amendments are additions to the Constitution. So has the original Constitution been updated?
There are changes in the Constitution.
Okay, let me ask
you
this here, Sarge.
If you look at the 13th Amendment, the 13th Amendment rendered nugatory the Fugitive Slave Clause, which is still in the Constitution. You don't remove anything from the Constitution. You amend it. So if you look at the original Constitution, you had the Fugitive Slave Clause in the Constitution. The 13th Amendment rendered it moot.
Okay, but Sarge, I got a question on that there. Okay, because I'm pulling up here the 13th Amendment. Okay, on Wikipedia, 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution. The 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution abolished slavery and involuntary servitude except as punishment
for a crime, except as vagrancy,
okay,
loitering,
now,
trespassing, all those laws they love to enforce after chattel slavery, after the Civil War, because white citizen couldn't control the Negroes.
Does that amendment exclude whites from that form of slavery?
Okay, Sarge, you didn't have no white
slavery
in the United States.
No. You just read the amendment. You just read it. I'd like to know where in that amendment are whites excluded from that form of slavery once they've been convicted of a crime.
They didn't need a 13th Amendment, Sarge. That's the whole point. The Bill of Rights was their shit. That was strictly for white men that own property and own land.
Right.
That was their shit. The 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, all the way up to what, the 21.
Hold on.
That movie they made in the 1930s with Paul Muni starring in it, I Was a Fugitive from a Chain Gang, that movie that changed chain gangs in Georgia and in the South, that movie, I Was a Fugitive from a Chain Gang. The white man, Paul Muni, was the star. He got an Academy Award. It exposed the chain gang system in the South, and those white men on the chain gang were effectively slaves.
Sarge, that's probably weird.
So you're saying that didn't happen?
No.
Okay, Sarge. Did you ever see the movie called In the Heat of the Night, the original one?
I can't get no satisfaction here.
No.
Okay, what about the movie In the Heat of the Night?
Okay. You remember when Sidney Poitier went up to Bea Richards and says, don't make me take you to jail, mama, because you got white time in jail and you got color time in jail, and the worst type of time to do in jail is color time.
And she was right about that.
No, Sidney was right about that. Okay. And then keep in mind, the irony of it is that when Sidney was going through Sparta, Mississippi, okay, to visit his family, okay, and this is in the year 1967, then Warren Oates, who played that dumb Barney Fife
sheriff, deputy
cop, okay, the deputy that brought Sidney in, then he takes Sidney in there before Rod Steiger, and Rod Steiger, who won an Oscar for that role, too, by the way, okay, has said, hey, man, color don't make that type of money, man. What you doing, you know, with that type of money right there, and what do you do for a living? And Sidney says, I'm a police officer. And Sidney shows him his badge. Then Rod Steiger tells that dumbass Sam, played by Warren Oates, Wood, step off into the office. And then Rod Steiger tells Warren Oates, hey, man, would you look at this right here? And Warren Oates, with his dumb, stupid, ignorant ass, he picks it up and he notices a badge. And old Rod Steiger, I'll never forget this classic line. Yeah, man, yeah, 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 oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So Sidney's a police officer out of Philadelphia. He's a homicide detective, and they're investigating a homicide case. So old Rod Steiger
says,
well,
they let him go then, didn't they, once they figured out he was not involved in the murder?
Sergeant, I'm yet to get to the crux of it, Sergeant. This was the best part about the movie. So Rod Steiger says he called the chief of police in Philadelphia, and he says, oh, well, you know, that's our best man to work homicide. And old Rod Steiger there had to go to him with a shit-eating grin, talking about, well, man, can't you take a look at this body right here? And so Sidney gets on the phone with his chief and says, well, you know, man, I don't think they'll accept my help anyway. So the chief of the Philadelphia PD told Rod Steiger and Virgil Tibbs, well, you know, to work the case. Okay. So Sidney goes up there. He looks at him. You know, this dude was murdered, okay? He gets a piece of evidence off the brake pedal, would happen to be to a particular flower or plant. So they go see this guy, yeah. Mr. Endicott, who's got a lawn jockey out there standing in front of his mansion.
And a greenhouse. Yeah,
in a greenhouse. And then Sidney goes like a gentleman. He says, well, sir, you know, your attitudes, your viewpoints are kind of like public record here down here in Sparta, Mississippi. And the dude goes up there and slaps Sidney, and Sidney came back and responded with a rain across his face. Man, that was beautiful. You see what I'm saying?
I got something I want to read real quick, Shabaka.
Let me get to this here.
What's your point, Shabaka? What's your point about that?
Okay, my point is, it's just like what Sidney said to Bea Richards. You got white time in jail, and you got color time in jail, and the worst kind of time to do is color time in jail, and that's in all 50 states. Look at the damn state of California.
All right.
Okay.
But one thing you got to give Rod Steiger in that performance, which is what I loved about that movie, because it didn't portray anybody as a cartoon cutout. That's what I liked about the movie. Rod Steiger, even though he didn't have much of a formal education, he was an impeccable judge of human character, and he knew that Sidney Poitier was the kind of guy who had a high sense of self-esteem, and all he had to do was challenge to him, and he knew that Sidney Poitier would want to prove his forensic superiority to the rules in Sparta, Mississippi. And he was, being the fact that he was the absolute judge of human character, and he knew his man when he was talking to Sidney Poitier, he knew that Sidney Poitier would accept that challenge, and he was absolutely right. That's what I loved about that movie.
Okay, now, also, too, Sarge, now, here's something else that we got to bring up here, too, and this is going to support what we've been saying, too, Brother Parrish. Now, you remember old Sam Wood, right? When he goes out on patrol, he used to like to go look at the white woman, you know, who was standing
in the window,
naked,
or always that gets naked.
And then they didn't want Sidney to go over there, but then again, old Sarge, white America's going to sit up there and violate young black girls on the auction block, and this is what Black Friday was about. And we're in there, John. You can comment on this here.
He actually laughed about it. Damn.
Let me finish. You didn't let me deal with this slavery issue that you brought up. Now you want to talk about white men's love for black men.
Okay.
So you want to talk about white men's lust for black women now?
No, we're not going to get derailed on the cave beasts or the cave B-I-T-C-H's. There was something I wanted to read real quick in regards to slavery in New England. At the same time, New England's political economy made a bludgeoning city-state dependent on the brutal system of racial slavery that drove the plantation complex. Slavery lay at the heart of the emerging world of American colonization. Enslaved labor was responsible for producing most of the valuable commodities shipped across the ocean. The richest colonies of every European empire relied heavily on enslaved labor, whether indigenous,
sugar cane and cotton.
Whether indigenous,
you need the
or
sugar
African,
cane to make you alcohol. Yeah, I'm sorry, Brother Che, go ahead.
Whether indigenous or African, the economy that colonial New England developed was a curious hybrid, reliant on trade with slave-based economies, yet itself without plantation agriculture. So all their hands were dirty. They all had a hand in it, and they kept it going on past the on paper date. It's still going on. They just call it something different now, but ain't nothing changed with the year. So what was y'all
how's it going on today?
Talking about? How, what do you mean how's it going on today? Look at the prison industrial complex. You were in prison, Joe.
Yeah,
what do you mean how's it going on today?
What kind of time did I do?
In that 10 years. Yes, you did white time.
Okay.
Now, I just hate to interject here. I got to read this part.
Joe, you didn't do Italian time. You did white time.
No, I did prison time, supermax time. The same
white,
thing. And the guy in the cell next to me did the same exact time I did, and he was black. So, trust me, hard time.
Okay, now, Joe.
And
I got to bring this
up
here.
You still had it better than him.
I did, really. How? How would I have had it better than him? We had the same mattress, the same nothing in our cell, four walls, same amount of concrete blocks. We got fed the same trays every day, two showers a week, both of us. So what? How did I have it better than him, or he had it better than me? It didn't happen.
Okay. Okay. Well, here's something here for you,
Joe.
Okay. But hold on. I got to interject this right here. Black slaves and their descendants. United States versus Road, 1866. One of the first 13th Amendment cases tested the constitutionality of provisions in the Civil Rights Act of 1866, not 1964. We're talking about 1866, that granted blacks redress in the federal courts. Kentucky law prohibited
civil rights movement
from testifying. Yeah, and Kentucky law, okay, where the greatest was born, okay, and Kentucky's known for racehorses and whiskey, sour mash, JD, what have you. You know, stars might like to take them a sip every now and then. But it prevented black people from testifying against whites in arrangements.
Yeah, you talking about Reconstruction. That's when we had the Freedmen Bureau, and they stole all the money from the Freedmen Bureau and created the Federal Reserve.
Fact. Okay. Now, Nancy Talbot was a citizen of the United States of the African race to reach justice against a white person accused of robbing her. After Talbot attempted to try the case in federal court, the Kentucky Supreme Court ruled that the federal option unconstitutional. Let's read that again. The Kentucky Supreme Court ruled this federal option unconstitutional. Now, Sarge, you're a well-read man, and also you too, Joe. Now, explain to me of how a state Supreme Court is going to overrule on federal law.
Because that went eventually to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court upheld the lower courts in their interpretation. That's why. That's why the Civil Rights Act of 1866 was declared unconstitutional.
I see.
They were upheld by the United States Supreme Court, rightly or wrongly. They were upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Okay, now let me ask you this here, Sarge. Now, it says Chief Justice Salmon P. Chase ordered freedom for Elizabeth Turner, a former slave in Maryland who became indentured to her former
master. Now, how does she become indentured to her former master, Sarge? See, this here is twisting words around.
The same way that Vice President Buchanan became indentured. You know, Vice President, not Buchanan, but what the hell, Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson had been an indentured servant. He was a fugitive, and he was shackled and ran away from his indenture to her. The same way that white man became president of the United States was a fugitive from justice because he was an indentured servant.
Okay,
the same way.
Let me ask you this here, Sarge.
And he was a white man. He wasn't even a slave.
Okay, well, hold on, Sarge. Hold on. Now, you're a very well-read man, Sarge. I give it to you. You know, you stand on your square for what you believe in. But you see, Sarge,
I just gave a historical fact there. That wasn't my opinion.
Okay,
that's the fact. I said the same way. The same laws of
indenture
that applied to Andrew Johnson.
But the thing is, though, a lot of the indentured servants, Sarge, were overseers. You know, like they talk about the Irish, like McDonald's, McDaniel,
Callahan. Yeah, they became the police department.
Let me ask you this here, though, Sarge.
America.
Okay, and then also, too, Sarge, keep in mind, you know, that these Irish men, they wouldn't help themselves, you know, to black girls as well, too, 12, 13, 14 years old, you know, fucking pedophiles who I despise, you know, like any man who is sane would do, because this is an act wrong within itself. And as you know, Sarge, you know the law. When it comes to laws, you got acts that violate statutes, rather at the county level, municipal level, state level, federal level. Then, Sarge, you have acts that are wrong within themselves. And this is why the former heavyweight champion had stated in Zaire, no, we are not brothers, because brothers don't go and take their brothers and castrate them and lynch them and put their private parts in their mouth. Now, what's up with that? Also, too, Sarge, where they had kicks, where they would lynch black men, set them on fire, and white folk would come up there and sit there and eat their lunch and dinner and stuff like that after watching a man being brutally murdered, Sarge.
And take souvenirs home. They take body parts home, put them in a jar.
Fingers.
All that sick body.
I do hope that you.
And you.
I do hope that I can tell you about one very famous incident involving the governor of Mississippi. I can go into chapter and verse about it in great detail. You're not telling me anything I don't know. What I'm trying to tell you is that anytime a citizen is deprived of their life, liberty, or property without due process of law, the Constitution has been violated. You are telling me about things that happened that were violations of the law.
We are not citizens of this country. We are denizens.
Well, you know, I beg to differ with you, sir, because I am. And if you don't want to consider yourself a citizen, that's fine with me. I know I am. In fact, I'm a natural born citizen.
We are not citizens.
I am a natural born citizen of the United States.
We get treated.
Okay. Now,
again,
Sarge,
I am a natural born citizen of the United States.
You're the force of racism, white supremacy, Sarge. Your ass is still black. They don't consider you a citizen in this country.
I don't care who considers me to be what. I know what I am. As my man just said a moment ago, I stand on my square.
You
I don't stand on other people's square. Other people's
system,
opinions are theirs to have. If you try to stop me from exercising my rights as a citizen, you're going to have trouble for me.
Okay, now let me ask you this here, Sarge. You're talking about the Second Amendment, huh?
Oh, I love Second Amendment. I exercise it regularly.
Okay, Sarge. Okay, hold on. You know, as we pay homage to this man's memory, you know, who was murdered on this day in 1989. Hold on. Let me see here. 10-point program. Let me turn here like you, Sarge. I'm quoting books right here. 10-point program. Let me see here.
Point number 7, goddammit. We want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of black bodies.
Yes, sir.
So do I. No argument there. So do I.
Okay, now let me ask you this here, Sarge. Why did this old senile bastard, who was the governor of California at the time, who became your 40th president, is going to sit up there and push through the great state of California state legislature, of where your former, where your current vice president is a former attorney general of? Okay, why did they push that mofo for that? Because
he did not have a principled view of the Second Amendment any more than he had a principled view of abortion. Ronald Reagan was not perfect on all issues, and those were two of the issues that he was not perfect on.
Well, I'll be damned, Sarge. You will get no argument from
and
me
then,
on
see,
that.
I told you, I tell you, I call balls and strikes. I don't take an agenda. I believe in the Constitution and the Declaration. I don't care who violates it.
Okay,
and I like Ronald Reagan.
Okay, even with his special effects from a creature form of 16 and crazy glue.
Conservative racist views.
No, I call Brian's effect. He was wrong about that, man. He was just wrong.
Okay.
Look, Constitution is more important to me than any individual. Any individual, no matter how much I admire them.
Okay.
Now, Nancy Reagan ran the country that last 8 years.
I think that man gave some pretty damn good speeches to somebody else who was running the country.
Okay.
Maybe the speeches he gave were some for the ages.
Sarge, top presidential speeches. What's your top five?
One of them is The Time for Choosing, given by Ronald Reagan. Another one is the Declaration of War address given by Franklin Roosevelt. Another one is the Gettysburg address given by Abraham Lincoln. Another would Calvin Coolidge's remarks on the Depression, after the Depression, and John F. Kennedy's remarks at his inauguration. I'd say those are some of the greatest. I might be missing a couple, but those were among the greatest presidential addresses ever.
Okay, and Joe is still with us.
I'm surprised you didn't say Sambo, Sarge.
Well, you asked presidential now. I mean, I assume you were talking about the United States president.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the birth certificate.
And
shit.
I don't know
if
that gentleman you just mentioned, I don't know that he was ever president of the United States.
Ooh.
Who was that?
So who was president that whole 8 years? Joe Biden?
What do you mean when Reagan was president?
No, when Osambo was president.
Oh, you mean Barack Hussein Obama? You mean the light worker?
Obama.
You mean the light worker? You mean he who walks on water? The guy who's going to keep the oceans from rising? Yeah, that guy?
Yeah, the hope and change that we can believe in.
Yeah, hope and change. Yeah. I don't consider any of his speeches great. I consider his ability to deliver them great, but the substance of them didn't quite measure up. For me, anyway.
Uh-huh. No, because he got in the office and they told him to tone all that pro-black shit up. Or else.
Yeah.
He was the president of the United States. What do you want him to do?
Okay,
he was the president of the black people in the United States. He was the president of the United States.
You remember Jeremiah Wright, Sarge? Jeremiah Wright.
Huh?
Yeah.
Do you remember Jeremiah Wright?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I tried to give a speech at his church when Alan Keyes was running for the Senate, and I went over there to his church twice. When Jim Overwhite was running for governor and when Alan Keyes was running for the Senate, I went over there to the Church of Christ on 95th Street, Chicago, and they kicked me out of there before I even knew I had come through the door. Oh, I know about them, sir. I know all about them. I was just trying to give look, I'm here as the surrogate speaker for Alan Keyes. I'd like to give this point of view to your congressman. Would you allow me to do
this?
Out the door, Negro.
Get
out this door. We don't want to hear from that here. We don't listen to them Republicans up in this place.
Them boys. That's 12.
I know Jeremiah Wright, and I know his bunch. I'd like to have a seance with Donald Young, whose mother accused Barack Hussein Obama of being involved in the murder of a homosexual son, and the other choir person in the choir up there. I'd like to have a seance with Donald Young.
Mm-hmm. Well, you would know better than us, Sarge. You were on the force for how many years in Chicago?
23.
Okay, now what about the Laquan McDonald case, Sarge?
Oh, that was clearly
thoughts on that.
Oh, well, please. Now, you know, there was so much to say about that. The worst part of it, aside from the murder of this young man, the killing of this young man, I believe it was second-degree manslaughter, the man pled guilty to or found guilty of, was the corruption of the Chicago mayor's office and the city council in covering up the deal they made with the family. It was all corrupt.
Okay.
They covered up that cop. They covered up that cop. They didn't tell the truth about the killing. It was thorough Chicago city corruption from one end to the other. And the worst part of it was not even necessarily the cop who illegally killed him at the boy. The worst part of it was the corruption of Chicago mayor's office and Chicago city council.
It's Crook County, Sarge.
Thank
that
you. I couldn't agree more.
I'm a little familiar. Well, I'm a little familiar with Crook County, you know, Sarge. Yeah, I've seen the Sears Tower, and I've seen, you know, the John Hank Insurance Building and what have you. I've seen Navy Pier. I've seen the Johnson Publications down there on Michigan Avenue. Yeah, I think I rode there.
You've seen the Robert Taylor homes.
Yeah.
Did you see
guess who was the mayor then?
And the Cabrini Green.
Guess who the mayor was then? It was
Rahm
Emanuel, Barack Hussein Obama's chief of staff.
Yeah.
Rahm Emanuel was the mayor who made the corrupt deal and the corrupt bargain. Rahm Emanuel.
Well, he was the mayor then. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. All right.
Barack Hussein Obama's chief of staff.
Okay. Now, we're in our last 13 minutes, folks, okay? In about 3 minutes, we're going to start our closing comments. We want to hear what everybody has to say. We see we got some unknown callers right here, and I see that they're messing with our algorithms again. But, however, you know what I'm saying? Well, this is how we know that we are speaking the truth. We just don't simply believe in prepackaged bullshit, you know, to quote the Queen Mother, and who has just had her 76th solar return. And I don't have to say her name. The only thing I'm going to say, it's Tupac's auntie. Okay, so we got a couple of callers right here who are listening in off of block phone numbers, which is your right. And if you got any closing comments, just simply press 1, and we'll be more than happy to have you on the air. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, and we deal with the black experience from the beginning of time to 10 minutes ago. Okay,
yes,
we enjoy, you know, constructive conversation, but we don't deal with Yasa bosses, ass scratchers, and what have you. And we do ask you, you know, to respect us as best you can, but I cannot say it does not get off the hook right here, because we got some controversy for your ass here on this platform, because there is no change without controversy. Oh, and by the way, and we let us pay our dear respects to the memory of the one and only Mr. Nat Turner. Also, too, let's pay respect to those down there with the Haitian Revolution, when they had to get rid of the French, and instead of sitting up there ass scratching Yasa Boss, and I'm like, Charlie, we love you so much.
They just simply put the Spanish and the English
and the Portuguese.
Because and
the Portuguese were very, they were very brutal down there in Brazil. You know what I'm saying?
And the Belgians. Don't get the Belgians.
Most definitely King Leopold, may he rest in shit. And then on our closing comments right here that we're going into, I just want to say a few words about the 45th president, you know, the dump, as in human shit, okay. He is about to make a mockery, ladies and gentlemen, out of the U.S. judicial system. Now, how, with these high crimes and treasons of this, is that you're going to give this man, who's a multimillionaire,
well, Sarge already
not
called
a
it.
Billionaire.
He said he ain't going to serve nothing. Ain't none of that going to get him in the slammer. Correct, Sarge?
Yeah. I don't think the dump is
man,
going to
Man, let me explain something to you here. Let me, like, this latest legal atrocity by Fonnie Willis.
Oh, we got to hear about the new Omega
hat. Wait a minute. Let's just set aside for a moment whether or not the charges against him are justified. Just from an administrative standpoint, this is so amateurish and stupid. I cannot believe a person with a law degree would file something
charges.
That's haphazard and utterly disorganized.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't even research the federal law on the matter that has to do when you bring charges against the president. She didn't even realize that you bring a case with 18 people in one case.
Uh-huh.
There are going to be all kind of motions to sever the case, to put it in other venues. All of that is going to take months to hear.
What judge are you talking about, Sarge? The judge in New York or the judge in the...
I mean, it looks like amateur hour.
Which judge are you talking about, Sarge? Talking about Bonnie Willis
and her stupid case in Fulton County.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, he got hit with the 91 charges.
It was really bad.
Legally, from
a legal standpoint, as far as the administrative aspect of it, it was a clown show, an utter clown show. It acted as though United States Code, Chapter 20, Section 1442 of the Federal Code doesn't exist.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is really stupid.
Okay, now, Sarge. Okay, now, but...
We don't have a law degree, and I know about that one.
Oh, yeah, Sarge, I only got, like, about... Yeah, the dump as in human shit. When he got up there and said in 2016 when he was running for president, he says, you know, folks, you got a lot of stupid people in politics. And with the way how this political spectrum and fervor that is going on right now, and I do not agree with the dump, but he was right about that one.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you got a lot of stupid people in politics. Look at your vice president.
He also said the Democrats are so stupid that he was going to run as a Democrat and win.
No, that was the Republican Party. No.
Well,
brother,
he said the Republicans are so stupid. He was a registered Democrat before he ran for.
Oh, he was once upon a time. He had to be. He's living in New York. He wanted to get something done.
Oh, okay. But however,
it was expedient.
And then, of course, when he called for the death penalty of the Central Park Five who were found out to be innocent, another case of the Scottsboro boys. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Another case of George.
Neck of the woods, Joe. The Scottsboro.
Yeah, wait a minute now. I got a few things to say about that one, and it ain't quite so cut and dry.
I looked extensively
into that case. And it ain't as cut and dry as it could be. Yeah, as usual, in these controversial cases, you had police misconduct, but that's neither here nor there. It's the fact that we're not in dispute about that case.
I'm fighting misconduct right here in North Carolina right now. So I understand what everybody's saying.
What are you
going to
do about the police,
Joe?
What are you going to do about the police brutalizing any of your citizens in your state?
Brutalizing citizens in my state. You're right. If they're found guilty, or if that's proven to be true, any type of police abuse, then they will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But we just can't single out police and say they're the culprit.
Okay, hold on, Joe. Okay, I agree with everything you're saying. You bat 1,000 on that one. Now let me ask you this here, Joe. So when a police officer goes into the county jail, right? Okay, he should be in the general population, right?
Not if his life is in danger. No, he
should. It depends, but more likely they're going to put him in ad sex.
Now,
more likely they're going to put him in ad sex.
That would be up to the if he goes into jail, to answer your question, that's up to the jail administration.
They're going to put him in ad sex most of the time. Administrative segregation.
Okay, but hold on, gentlemen.
We already know that.
Yeah, he's going to Punk City, and then on top of it, too, because, everybody's worried about his life. Gentlemen, we all know that any and everybody's life in jail is at risk.
Right.
Okay?
Well, if you're a police officer, you're marked when you walk in there.
You're really marked when you walk through the door. You got to earn the mark.
Okay, Joe. Just like when you looked at the Rampart scandal. Okay, you know what I'm saying? And L.A. had a black police chief, his first one that came up through the ranks, not Willie Williams, and I know you know about this here, Sarge, Bernard Parks. So when Bernard Parks had shut down CRASH, which was Community Resources Against Street Hoodlums, and these individuals was going out here shaking down the gang members, the dope dealers, and all that stuff right there. Okay, they only let Bernard Parks serve 1 5-year term. Now, let's look at something here. After Daryl Gates
whose son was a dope fiend and went out there and pulled an armed robbery in a suburb of L.A. called Huntington Park. Gates gets up there and says, well, my son cannot expect no help from me. And then after the Rodney King situation where Daryl Gates is signing off Stacey Coons and Lawrence Powell's forged documents, you know what I'm saying, through the administration, hey, we had an arrest out here in Foothill Division. We had a use of force. Gates sits up there and says, hey, great work, gentlemen. You know, you did fine. And then all of a sudden, a reporter from the local news in Los Angeles knocks on Gates' door, what used to be Parker Center that they tore down, and says, hey, Chief, check this out, man. We got a main feature for you right here. And so they go on and show the tape of, you know, where they're beating down Rodney King. And if anybody ever saw the motion picture called Malcolm X, where Denzel Washington played the lead role, and me personally, I think he should have got an Oscar for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they hitting this man with a baton, and they hit him 52 times. Now, people, for a police officer to hit somebody with a baton 52 times and hit him with a taser about 10 times, you're not trying to affect an arrest. This is attempted murder. But what does California do? Well, we're only going to charge them with misconduct under the color of authority, as opposed to charging those bastards for the rightful crime.
Well, they enjoy qualified
murder.
Immunity. You know, a lot of police, you know, you have to understand, a lot of this is qualified immunity.
Sarge, are you going to Sarge, Joe, are you going to end qualified immunity in North Carolina?
Well, to be honest with you, I really do disagree with it. I think if they break the law, then, you know, they should not be immune from all these prosecutions. So, but there has to be some sort of level of protection against false accusations. I mean, there has to be some sort of oversight committee.
Oh, Joe, come.
Are you talking
now
about the fraternal order of police?
Because
I know you ain't talking about
false
fraternal
accusations, Joe?
No,
Joe,
no, I'm not saying that. But
false accusation of Carolyn Bryant.
Well, we know, Chewbacca, you're going to tell me that people don't make false accusations? They do.
Carolyn Bryant people make made false accusations against black people, yes, but not against
they do.
The police.
But
no,
they make them against
call
the police, too.
No, people call on black people just because they can, for the stupidest of reasons, Joe. So, no.
Come on,
but
man.
We're
you want a level playing
time.
Field or not? Do you want
it's
a level
not.
Playing field, an honest playing field or not?
I want it, but that doesn't mean it exists. I want it, but that doesn't mean it exists.
You have to try to make it happen.
Okay.
Does it currently exist, Joe?
No, it doesn't. There's a lot of unfair and biased situations in this country. You're absolutely correct. There is.
Okay. All right, now let me ask you this here, Joe, since we're going down into our last 2 minutes, people, and please do not hang up, okay, because I see our board, you know, we have some callers here. Everybody's hitting with the 111 all across the board. We understand.
That's Joe's caller.
We understand.
Joe says
you're going
to have to call in and just listen. They did a good job listening.
Okay, we understand. You know, here at Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced, we deal with the black experience from the beginning of time to 10 minutes
some
ago.
Some people at work,
and
Chewbacca,
then,
they can't talk, you know.
I understand, however. Okay, they could hit the chat room. You're doing a great job in the chat room here, Joe, and then also too, Sarge. You know, he hits the
don't
chat room
hang
as well.
We're about to go into overtime.
We are going in overtime, and we definitely want to get to everybody's closing comments and what happened. It's because you
go
see,
ahead,
ladies,
Joe.
And gentlemen, here,
start us off.
Okay,
with it.
Yeah.
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 I'd love to say
thing.
Something.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, just saying.
Where's your co-host tonight? Where's the female co-host tonight?
Can you hear me?
Oh, go ahead.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
And who do we have the pleasure of hearing tonight, right now?
Hey, Chewbacca, I followed you over from Joe Gibson's show. This is John Doe.
Oh, okay,
John Doe.
JD. Okay, John Doe. Okay, what you got to say, John Doe? Your voice sounds familiar. I think we. Yeah. Okay, John Doe.
Yeah,
what's on your mind?
I just heard earlier in the show somebody made the same mistake that I've made in my past, and I thought you guys might like to hear it. Cause,
okay, what you got going on?
The United States Constitution was not actually ratified in 1787. It was proposed and approved by the 12 states that were present at the convention at that point. But if you look at Article 7, it says the ratification of the conventions of 9 states shall be sufficient for the establishment of this constitution between the states, so ratifying the same, ratifying the constitution. So that ratification never occurred until the 9th state ratified it, and that was New Hampshire, June the 21st, 1788. I used to make that same mistake, too, for a long time, so I just thought you guys might like to know that tidbit. Thanks for the time. Sounds great. You guys are doing wonderful work. Appreciate it. Back to
you. Thank you very much.
Free to call in anytime.
Yes, go ahead, Joe. And please,
we in overtime.
Okay, and please don't hang. Yeah, please don't hang up, folks. We are in overtime, and then generally what we do, we, you know, give our closing salutations. Okay, go ahead, Joe. I know you got a lot to say. Then we got to go to Sarge because, you know, this show won't be the same without the one and only Sarge.
Well, you
didn't
let me play my little thing like you promised. It was about 3 minutes long, but that's okay. I don't have it really up
now. You could play it, Joe. You could play it.
Well, then let Sarge go first then while I geared it up, okay? So please,
okay,
don't mind.
All right. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Okay, Sarge, come on with it. You know we, you know Sarge.
Well, you know
Sarge.
Me, Shabaka. You know me, Shabaka. Look here, I may have a block number, but I ain't no troll. I attempt to respond every single point that you raise. I make an attempt to respond to them. If you don't change them up too doggone much, I will respond to every single thing you say. I mean, I will make a direct, unequivocal, and clear response to everything you say. Even if you don't agree with it, you will know clearly where I stand.
Okay, Sarge.
Yeah,
tell you what I'm going to do, Sarge. I'm going to mute myself.
Oh, my God. Go ahead, Sarge.
I do my best to respond to what you say. I don't ignore what you say, ever. I take notes.
Yeah, you do that. Is that it, Sarge, or you got any more?
No, well, you know, I'm just saying, though, but look, guys, here's the point I'm trying to make here. I categorical statements on almost anything are invariably wrong or erroneous. And that's the problem I have with much of what I hear. Categorical statements about everybody, collective behavior of everybody, as though we're a bunch of honeybees or ants, and we can only act the way we're genetically programmed, just ain't so. And I'm saying that the fact that, you know, you guys are making the perfect the enemy of the good. I will acknowledge the imperfections in the realization of the rule of law in this country. Of course there was. There still is. There will always be. What you seem to ignore is that there was a recognition by the framers of the Constitution that all human beings were flawed and subject to sin. And that was the whole point of why they set it up the way it is, so nobody could aggregate power unto themselves in one entity. That's the purpose of federalism, to spread it out and diffuse it so the baleful effects of tyranny could not be instituted easily.
Okay, all righty.
And if you look at the Constitution, you'll see there's a genius in it, and I applaud it.
Okay. All right. Okay. 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 All right, Sarge, and then also to Joe Gibson. Okay.
All right.
What is your closing comment, sir?
Okay. Well, it's about 2.5 minutes long, so I know you're
sure.
But I'd like your co-host there's opinion or factual rebuttal on it, because you say he's knowledgeable. I think he's well spoken. He might take a little offense to this, but he's going to understand the position that it's coming from. So I'm going to play it real quick. It's about 2 minutes and 25 seconds long, so I appreciate it, though.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
And real quick, though, where's your female co-host, or your woman co-host, like you like to say? Where's she at?
Yeah, where's the distaff point of view?
Okay. I think Lady Che is off tonight. Okay, Brother Che would know more about that than me. So what's happening with Lady Che?
We missed
Lady
her tonight.
Lady Che is focused on her campaign. Her election is in November.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Thank you. All right.
By refusing to apologize for who we are. I'm not sorry for the colonization of indigenous peoples. After Europeans left, they went back to their third world ways. Moreover, these people create nothing new, except for dictatorship, cannibalism, poverty, and civil war. I'm not sorry for apartheid. After the native Africans took control, they slaughtered the whites in the area just as they did in Haiti. Have a look at what happened under Robert Mugabe. I'm not sorry for slavery. Every race on the planet has practiced slavery at one point or another. More whites were abducted and enslaved by Muslims than the number of blacks enslaved by whites. It was whites who founded the abolitionist movement and fought to end slavery. Today, various tribes in Africa continue to enslave each other. Yet they say there's only blood on the hands of Europeans. If anything, under white rule, third world countries had a higher standard of living than they could ever produce on their own. After we leave you to yourselves, what we build for you is destroyed. We are not dependent on you. If anything, you need us. I'm not sorry for the Crusades. Our ancestors courageously fought to drive Islam out of Europe. If it weren't for their valor, our entire civilization would be under Islamic tyranny. That same heroic spirit still flows through the blood of our people today. Ethno-nationalism among Europeans is rising in the face of invaders. I'm not sorry for imperialism. The Mongols built the largest empire in human history, but nobody suggests that they should be denied their sense of cultural and racial identity. The issue isn't that our ancestors were imperialists. It's that we were the best at it. We came, we saw, we conquered. Such allegations against the entire white world are just excuses to rob us of our once prosperous homeland. Saudi Arabia insists that Europe should take in more refugees when there are rich oil states capable of housing millions of them. Instead of importing their own kinsmen to their country, they offer to build mosques in Germany. I'm not sorry for the alleged Holocaust. The Soviet Commissars murdered at least 30 million of my people in Eastern Europe. We don't hear about these atrocities because Jews weren't the victims, but the culprits. I refuse to shed a tear for your Hollywood narrative. When the Jews fled Europe following the Second World War, they proceeded to ethnically cleanse the Palestinians to establish Israel. This displacement in the Middle East created resentment towards the Western world. The Zionists drive them out, and we have to take them in. Liberals will claim they're standing for human rights, but the minute you tell them whites have the right to self-determination, they scream, "You're part of the problem," thereby embracing the cultural and demographic genocide of a race that has created the very civilization they take for granted.
All right. Okay. So is there any history there that is false in there?
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, Joe.
Everything.
Okay,
everything in there is false.
Okay.
I'm willing to listen.
Where do you want us to begin with dissecting this bullshit you just played?
Robert Mugabe explained about his imperial his total failure at governing, for starters.
Joe, are you aware, Joe, that the first European settlers that came to this country or this part of the world practiced cannibalism?
And then also, too, if I may add on to that there, too, Brother Che, look at a film called Diner Pass, okay? I've been over Diner Pass in California, okay? 7,557 feet above sea level is where that wagon train 1841 was stranded up there, and they turned to cannibalism. It's because, you know, that snow in the Sierra Nevadas, you think Colorado got it going on. Okay, hold on. They got caught in a blizzard, Sarge. Okay, it's because I have passed Donner Pass, and they do have a monument up there to them. Now, on Joe's clip where this guy says, you know, well, what about the Romans and all that? See, we of African descent people, we don't care about that because that don't affect us. See, well,
but it's
we
part of world history, Shabaka.
Joe, this is about United States history.
And then keep in mind, though, too, Joe, on this platform, we deal with the black experience from the beginning of time to 10 minutes ago. Okay, great. I mean, I could care less. I don't care about those barbarians like Alexander the homosexual who would go out there and
but
take little
boys. But aren't they tied in together,
Shabaka?
Isn't the history tied in together that reflects and bounces off?
No.
I mean, we're all affected by it, aren't we not?
You see, Joe, the thing is that you have to understand, Joe, and please don't take offense to this here, okay, it's because I've had people hit me with, hey, man, okay,
first place, Joe, it was Ethiopian women that gave the world the concept of feminine hygiene. Okay. Now, you heard of the Pied Piper that took all the rats over there, man, because the bubonic plague had wiped out half of Europe, Joe. That was due to filth. They didn't believe in washing their asses, Joe. I mean, can you imagine
going
before?
Getting naked, anything of that sort was sin.
They considered it
sin. I did hear about that with the Vikings, but I don't know how true it is, you know.
Okay,
I mean,
yeah, okay, but Joe.
Well, it wasn't true
Vikings,
to the Romans. Romans were at house water baths.
Okay,
they
but
got
hold
that
on.
From the
but
Moors,
hold on. But keep, okay, but keep
the
on
Moors,
those stars.
The point of it
Rome
is that they believed
had
in babies.
Stole
the
information
that's
from the
Moors
of Northern Africa.
They
okay,
believed
they stole
in
that from
they
the
Moors
Empire.
Did. The Moors did.
Okay, you see what
the
I'm saying? And then on top of it.
No, they didn't.
Okay,
they didn't believe
in babies. It was Africans
otherwise,
that
the
showed
plague
Europeans
have been running
how to
so
wash
rampant
their funky asses
in Europe
okay
during that time, during the dark
but do
ages.
Whites,
yeah.
You're talking about the United States. So do whites in America have a right, just as much right, to be proud of their heritage as the blacks?
What is
okay
your heritage?
Well, see, Joe.
Robin still
okay,
in America. You said we're talking about America.
What is their heritage
okay
in America?
Well, whatever history. What history is history. Whatever happened yesterday is history,
what
right?
What is their heritage,
this show will
Joe
be history. Since the founding of the of America.
I can show you.
How about that?
I can
I mean,
show you.
You know,
how are you going to found something
show
that was already founded?
You're telling me that no whites fought and bled for the land that was here? That they didn't fight for the land? They didn't fight
okay
against their, even
okay
their own people,
on,
the British?
Joe. Okay, hold on, Joe.
Joe, the select few that did does not compare to the ones that didn't.
And
they
didn't, Joe, how
free
slavery
giveaways
in this country.
Free land and free labor under the guise of manifest destiny in white man's
burden. The colonists who settled in Great Britain, the colonies of Britain, brought a distinctive culture with them from your back. The colonists of the New England colonies
what
were culturally distinct from the Scots-Irish that settled
Sarge
in the southern region.
Sarge, what culture did they bring?
I'm about to tell you, if you let me.
Go ahead, Sarge.
The people who settled in the southern regions of the United States brought with them
uh-huh
a distinctive Scots-Irish, Scottish heritage from the highlands of Great Britain. The people who settled in the
okay
northern part of the United States
uh-huh
brought in the Presbyterian culture from East Anglia in England. They were distinctly different cultures. That's why the culture of the South
are
was distinctly different from the culture
stars
of the North. Yes,
stars.
I am
are
saying exactly that, and I can prove it. I can prove it.
Are you talking about the Gypsy Sarge?
No, sir. Not at all. I'm talking about the borderers from the Scottish Islands who mainly settled in the southern region of the United States. The ones who settled in the northern around Plymouth Rock, the Pilgrims, they were from the East Anglia section of England. They didn't come from Scotland. They didn't come from Wales. They had a distinctive culture that was singularly different.
And what was so distinct about their culture, Sarge?
Because they were Presbyterian. They were either Anglican. They were Presbyterian. They were Church of England. The people that settled in the southern region of the United States were also Protestant, but some of them were Catholic, but most of them were Lutheran Protestants and that sort of Lutheranism. It was distinctly different. In fact, the people who settled in the southern part of the reason the South was so wild and black people picked up that wild redneck culture from those Scottish borderers who lived in a largely lawless region of Scotland as opposed to the ones who settled in the northern colonies, which were mainly law-abiding and much more settled. Now, had those same Scots come from the Scotland of the 19th century, they would have brought a different culture with them because they weren't as wild and crazy by the time of the early 19th century as they were in the 16th, 17th, when Britain finally subdued them after the Battle of Culloden.
Okay, so
now, if you
want to
go
okay
into the subject in depth, If you want to go on this subject in depth, I am prepared to do it in depth. And you will see the distinction.
Okay,
well, you know, in North Africa, also 1.25 million slaves were white in Northern Africa in the 16th century and the middle of the 18th century.
Let me,
in that time, Joe.
Okay,
white
and also
is relatively new. That is a concept.
Okay.
That is a social construct that was constructed by people that look like you.
And, so you tell me the first white settlers didn't arrive until 1482 and through 1483. That was the first white settlers in Africa.
Okay, but you see, that's it.
Shabaka. Shabaka, you ever heard of a gentleman called Alexis de Tocqueville?
What, say that again, Sarge? Okay, you're a little
You ever heard of the gentleman, the famous historian named Alexis de Tocqueville?
Well, no, I haven't.
We are in overtime.
Yes.
Right,
and please don't hang up, folks.
He traveled the region of the United States from the northern end of the colonies all the way to the south. He spent like 5 years traveling all around the United States and writing it up in a series of history. And he remarked very markedly in great detail on the difference of the cultures in the various regions. In great detail.
Okay.
What does that have to do with race being a social construct, though, Sarge?
Because you said they didn't bring a culture with them. That's what you
what
said.
What culture did they bring? What is European culture?
That's what I'm trying to tell
what
you.
Is that?
This is
murder,
exactly
death,
what I mean. I'm responding to
what you say, and then you ask me what I'm talking about.
He
played in that video, that's what Europeans are. But they're trying to make it seem like they wasn't.
So if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound?
Yeah, it makes a sound.
Well, it doesn't matter who says it.
It doesn't matter if there's anybody there to hear it or not.
I didn't hear the tree fall. I live 15 miles away from where the tree fall. I didn't hear it fall, so it must not have made a sound.
But it did, even if you didn't hear it.
All right. Okay, and that's what I'm saying about the culture. Even if you don't know about the culture that the Europeans brought with them to the North American continent, that doesn't mean that cultures didn't exist and they weren't singular and
distinct. The culture of murder, death, kill, spread lies, and deceit.
Like the Mongolians had a similar culture.
Everywhere they go, is that the culture you're talking
about? Like the Mongols had a similar culture too, and they weren't white.
Well, they weren't black, or were they?
Okay, see, this is what I mean. Reductio ad absurdum is not an argument.
Okay, we've got Joe here in the chat room. I'm going to read Joe Gibson's comment right here. He says, Ohio State University history professor Robert Davies, describes the white slave trade as minimized by most modern historians in his books called Christian
Slave,
Muslim Master, White Slavery in the Mediterranean, the Barbary Coast, and Italy. Now, Joe, when you are saying the Barbary Coast, the first thing that comes to my mind when you say
100 million.
Okay. And the first thing that comes to my mind when I hear the Barbary Coast is the city of San Francisco doing a gold rush. Now, Joe says this is between 1500 to 1800. Davis estimates that 1 million to 1.2 million Europeans were enslaved in North Africa from the beginning of the 16th century to the middle of the 18th by slave traders from Tunisia, Algiers, and Tripoli. These numbers do not include the European people who were enslaved by Morocco and by other raiders and traders of the Mediterranean. Okay, like I said, I'm making it plain. Okay,
Boom and Bop came out with that white shit, and that wasn't until the 16th, 17th century. So there was no such thing as white.
Now you got a point. Finally, now you got a real point there. Let's look at that point you just made. Let's look at it. Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. During those times, ethnic loyalties were predominant. And everybody looked themselves as the members of tribe, whether you're a Swede, whether you're even a German. The Prussians did not look at the Saxons as German. They thought they were Prussians. They were Saxons, or they were Bavarians.
Ladies and gentlemen, Shabbat is black experience. Yes, folks, we always got some controversy.
They looked at themselves as members of tribes. White people did too. Tribalism was big during the Atlantic slave trade.
How many Africans?
100 million.
10 to 12 million.
No, logistically, that's impossible. That would be impossible logistically. I know, I'm just wondering, let's just look at the sheer logistics
how
of it,
many?
Because look at how long
how
it took the ship to transit the Atlantic, the amount of time it had to spend in dry dock, the amount of time they had to spend recruiting new crews, because about a third of the average slave ship crew died on the voyage, so you had to take time to recruit new crews. You had to put the ship up in dry dock to fix it. The cargo capacity of the ship was relatively limited. It took a certain amount of time to get across the Atlantic. Logistically, it wouldn't be possible.
How many
10 to 12 million.
I mean, we ain't got super tankers. They didn't have super tankers back then.
Okay, but Joe, Okay, see, Joe, here's what we're saying right here. Shabbat is black experience enhanced. Okay,
I'm about to break the fact that the American slave trade was so brutal. See, Joe,
the day of the house nigga is over. Okay, Boss We Sick is over.
Way.
You know, Malcolm X brought that.
Hold on, Shabbat. Let me get this out. The white race was invented by rich Virginians in 1676, not no 1500, in the aftermath of the populist rebellion of impoverished, indentured, and enslaved Africans and Europeans, known as Bacon's Rebellion. That's where white came from, Joe. There was no white in no 1500. So your whole notion of white slavery, it didn't exist.
The African slave trade with the Kingdom of Dahomey in Africa, the black king of Dahomey, conducted slave wars against rival black tribes, Arabs and later Europeans, seeking work force for the new world purchased by black slaves.
Hold it, Joe. I dispute everything you said because the European came down there with the concept of divide and conquer, Joe. I've said this on your platform.
There was no concept of whiteness until the 17th century. So no,
and then also
there was no white European.
No.
Okay, and then keep in mind.
Joe.
What about the Vikings?
Nationality, but keep in mind. Scandinavians, come on, man.
What do you mean, what about the Vikings?
Look, guys.
I'm not trying to make an argument that slavers are more humanitarian because they shipped fewer Africans. It was simply a matter of logistics. I mean, the Muslim slave trade was so numerous because they're able to move them across land routes and short coastal routes. They didn't have that far to transfer. The transatlantic slave trade was the logistical burden. It took time. The ships didn't have limited carrying capacity. They had to go into dry dock for repair. They could only transmit so many, just as a matter of logistics. Not as a matter of humanitarianism.
Okay, but hold on, Sarge. Now, I
got
a comment here
with Joe
Gibson said here. Okay, no, it's more than that, Sarge. How many more? Okay.
How many more?
Okay, Brother Che, can you pull up information on that there? Because I believe you would have to check out our man there, Dr. Amos Wilson. Okay, now, the thing
like
is, too, here, Joe, I'm looking at your comment right here.
Maybe.
Okay, he was saying is that the king of Dahomey was selling his own people into slavery. Okay, this is the biggest goddamn lie ever told, and I'm saying it like this right here, because see, what they're not telling you is that the European came there with lies and deceit, just like he brought the indigenous people of America smallpox, first form of biological warfare. Okay, so the Europeans came up with their line and divide. Okay, so therefore, when they got them slaves down there to Gory Island, in Ghana, going through the point of no return, these bastards got up there and says, okay, we got a room for 100 of these colored folk. Okay. All right, we only got 75 that made it, you know, off that forced march all across to Gory Island. Let's go back here and talk to the king. And what they did was they knocked him upside the head. They took his ass, too. And Joe Will Gibson, what blows this here about the waters when you look at the case of Sin Q. This was the king's son.
Okay, the United Nations
so
got
why,
it right. The United Nations
okay, now,
got
but
it
why
right.
Would the king sell
they,
his own son?
They're getting their number. I'm going to tell you where they're getting their number from, Shabaka. They're getting it from Google.
Yeah.
Because Google is saying 12.5
oh,
million.
Oh, man. Google,
no,
come on,
Google,
man.
Google,
at it
right now.
I'll give you my book.
Come on,
but
man.
Go to
I got the book in my library. I give you the names of the book.
Hold on. I got the United Nations right here, and it says for over 400 years, more than 15 million men,
right.
women, and children were transported. So,
now, wait a minute. You just said 100 million a minute ago.
Yeah, that's more than...
You just said
100
million a minute ago.
That's more than 12.5, Sarge.
Okay, so but it's definitely closer than 100 million.
It's
okay,
more
but see,
than...
But you gotta,
with,
okay,
with
but
Sarge. Saying, though, Sarge.
Okay, but they overpacked the slave ship, Sarge, to prove your point even further is because the ship had to go on a dry dock. They had to pay for money for that. Also, to
yeah, and
check
it took
the
ship out of operation while it was in dry dock.
Okay, hold on, Sarge, and then not to mention that Hartford Insurance, you know what I'm saying, insured the slave ships, just like the Lloyds of London. And then also, too, Dr. Joy DeGruy, ma'am, if you're hearing us, and also, too, Rosa Sparks, I'm sorry, on Twitter, please give us a call when you can at 516-418-5996. Go to our like page, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, and we would love to have you ladies on here. And these women are scholars, and they got some knowledge. You see what I mean? See, what it is, black family, rather if we're on the continent, rather if we're in South America, rather if we're in the United States, rather if we're in France, Belgium, what is that, the Netherlands, the Dutch, you know, there's the savage asses and their brutalization of slaves. You see what I'm saying, along
like,
with the French.
It looked like the vast majority came over during the 18th century.
Right, which would be
yes.
the 1700s. Yeah, which would be
that'd
the be 1700s.
True.
Okay.
To
right.
North
and
America.
Then,
to North America. To North America.
To South America.
The Caribbean, Sarge, and then
right.
North America.
Yeah, but it was less
okay.
than a million that came to North America through the transatlantic slave trade. Less than a million.
Okay, but you had a lot that went through Brazil with the Portuguese. You see what
yes,
I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. Now, that's true.
Okay. Okay,
the
and then you start keeping in mind.
Brazil.
Is it, okay, yeah, hold on. Yeah, just like Her Majesty Queen Nzinga, when the Portuguese came up there and told her, well, we're taking your brother to go meet King Philip, and she never saw her brother. So then when they came back there about 3 or 4 years later, because keep in mind, you didn't have airlines, man. You didn't have Captain Kirk's transport machine. Okay, so the representatives of King Philip and then also, too, pay note to this here, too, Joe Gibson. Okay, is that they came up there and they told Her Majesty Nzinga, well, you are now a colony of Portugal. And Her Majesty said with her lovely self, fool, you want to reiterate that? And he repeated himself. She says, yeah, man, check yourself. And she went on and put the work in and what have you and whatnot, and she got them Portuguese up out of there. And she fought them no good, dirty bastards for 50 years from the time that she was, I believe, in her early 20s until into her 80s. You see what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, so when you hear a black woman that has the name of Nzinga, oh, yeah, that is definitely a name that is to be honored. But you see, and I would debate with Ass Scratches and Uncle Toms like Larry Elders, Leo Terrell, you know, Yassa bosses like Uncle Tim Scott and what have you. They're not going to have this knowledge. They don't want black people knowing this knowledge. They don't want black people
wait
knowing
minute.
The knowledge of
I'm
King
not
going to
argue with
too.
You about that, though. But see, now you're saying some factual stuff now. When people start giving these wildly inflated numbers about number of slaves that came to North America, then I'm going to have an exception to that.
Sarge.
Okay, but Sarge.
I was talking about the totality of the transatlantic slave trade. I wasn't talking about
right.
how many people
were
in the transatlantic slave trade. That's 500 years. So how many people were involved in that? Well, how many then? How many? Give me a number.
50 million.
No. No way. Not possible logistically. It's just not. Even if they wanted to, they didn't have the cargo carrying capacity to do it. Even if they wanted to.
So you think it's 12 million SARS?
Yes, I think 12. I'll give you 15 million at the height, and most of them went to the Caribbean and the West Indies. Less than a million came to North America.
No,
and I'll give you an even 1 million. I'll give you 1.1 million if you want to argue.
SARS.
Okay, but
the majority of them went to South America, not the Caribbean, not the West Indies.
Okay, South America and the Caribbean.
America.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that then. Right, you're right. You're right.
Because outside of Africa.
But they certainly didn't come to North America. That is not in dispute. It is not in dispute that the majority of, not even close, came to the North American continent. That is simply not true.
Well, that's not what I said. So you're putting words in my mouth. I never said that, Sarge. I already know that. Actually,
well, the people who want to make North America seem worse than it is say that regularly.
Well, they don't know the history, but I do. Only 6% were brought to North America. So, no.
Okay, but you had a lot of them that went to Brazil. You had a lot of them, you know, that went to Argentina.
Yes.
Okay, you had a lot of them that went to Mexico. You also had a lot of them that went to Cuba and the Dominican Republic as well, too.
I don't know. They're going to pull the plug any second now.
Okay. Yeah, well, the top four areas for slave transatlantic slave trade were Portuguese Brazil, the British Caribbean was number two, the French Caribbean was number three, and the Spanish Americas was number three. Those are the top four. North America doesn't even come on the list until maybe you get to the Dutch. And they had less than half a million.
No. Okay, but hold on. 1619,
Jamestown,
first slaves. Okay, yeah, that
but
was
told
in Jamestown.
Spanish.
Brazil.
No, remember he said the last one was the Spanish
Americas,
They brought slaves with them in the 1500s, in like 1526, as a matter of fact, and they landed on the shores of South Carolina. Yeah, which is now South Carolina,
Yeah, and that is where the Maroons were at there,
now
too.
See, now we got some agreement here.
Sarge, how is this going to fix any of the problems today?
History is always important to learn to get. Look, if you got a solid understanding of history,
you don't know your history, you're
going to
repeat it, Joe. That's how. If you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
No, you need to know it. You need to know it, Joe. I think you need to know it. But I want to argue against the distortion. That's what I'm trying to argue against. I don't mind people telling the facts in that history.
It was the most brutalist fucking crime in human history. What distortion?
Slavery was.
No,
I'm talking about
I don't even know that was the first.
By the Europeans on the African. That was the most brutal.
Chattel,
you see what I'm saying?
Slavery,
and you see, Joe. And this is why we don't care about the Greeks. And this is why we don't care about what happened to them. Yeah, exactly. And the whole Western hemisphere.
Yes,
Joe.
Yes.
And this,
no
keep
way.
In mind,
yes,
too, Joe.
Yes,
hold
way,
on,
Joe.
Joe. But keep in mind, Joe, just like what our man from Warren had told you on his show, Joe, and then my phone had powered down. That's why I couldn't join you guys, is because, you see, the thing that made the black man and the black woman eligible for slavery here on the continent of North America and in the whole damn Western Hemisphere was the color of his skin.
True. You got it.
Okay,
now we agree there, too.
Whoa, hold it. Okay, hold on. Now, you also got to look at the raping, slave trading, pedophile, okay, when you look at a motion picture called Mandingo.
Mandingo?
Look at this.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Okay. And then also, too, you got to look at our man there, the one and only Mr. Frederick Douglass.
who is the product of the rape and slave trade and pedophile that violated his mother. And the rape and slave trade and pedophile went up there and hit Freddie D with a whip. And one day Freddie D says, you know what, man, check this out. I really don't appreciate you hitting me with that. So Freddie D snatched it from him, beat the living dog shit out of him, and rightfully so, and whooped his ass. And rightfully so. Then he says, well, I got to get out of Dodge now, so I'm bum rushing the harbor.
He was young when he did that.
Right there.
He was still a teenager.
Yeah, and he jumped the ship there in Baltimore Harbor. And then he went off, man, you know, and became a seaman. And then Freddie D had landed in a place called San Francisco, California. And he had set up his newspaper office right there. You see what I mean? I don't know if Freddie D had went up there to try to bum rush some of that gold up there on the mother load at that time.
Well, when these new world order thugs, Chewbacca, take control of everything and they enslave us all, you could sit in that, and, you know, next to me and say, well, I should have listened to you,
Joe.
They're working on it, baby. They want you to eat bugs, own nothing, and you'll be happy. You better love them cockroaches because that's what they want you to eat.
Yep.
Okay, Joe. Okay, Joe.
Cockroaches and crickets.
Okay, Joe,
and
the fact
worms.
Of the matter is, Joe, is this. It is time for the black man to control his own destiny. This all-inclusive shit, man, is an illusion. You know
it.
I know it. Kamala Harris knows it. Yeah, it's
divided,
an illusion,
you're gonna fall,
man.
No.
To quote Malcolm X, when you open up your hand, you see these five digits. They're separated, and if you slap somebody, they'll stink.
How are you going to defeat the New World Order?
Let me finish what I'm saying, Joe. Okay, let me finish what you're saying, Joe, and then we're going to allow you to finish, okay? As Malcolm said, these five digits, you take them right here, and you separate them, they'll sting you. But if you want to put somebody in their place, you just simply bring these digits together. This is the concept of black power that we heard in the 1960s. See, the panties, okay, and I'm calling the governor of Florida a transvestite, and I'm saying he wears women's underwear, and this is why I call him the panties. And then the dump, as in human,
that's
shit,
human shit,
okay?
Wrong
this
enemy.
Ass should be
wrong
getting
enemy.
Life and
wrong
okay.
enemy. Oh, my
Hold
God.
On. Okay. No, what it
What's
is,
right
Joe.
What your
is
optics
Joe?
Are so off. Your
okay,
optics
Joe.
Are so off.
Joe.
Okay,
what,
Joe.
What is the right
this
enemy?
Is why. Okay. This is why when Kwame Nkrumah had wanted to form the United States of Africa, he had wanted to form Africa to its own country and make Ghana the capital.
Yep.
Read Professor PLO Lumumba.
Yep.
Now, here's one for you, Sarge. You a very well-read cat, man. Yeah, check out Professor PLO Lumumba. You see what I'm saying? And then you talking about these Arabs and all this other type of shit. Who was the first one to start castrating black men, according to Professor PLO Lumumba? It was the Arab.
Yes,
sir. Chewbacca, they'll throw you off a rooftop, too. Just as fast as they'll throw me off a rooftop, okay? The Arabs don't like
okay.
you guys.
Okay.
In the United States,
okay, Joe, they will spare
not
you, but they would decorate the walls with my brain. Yes, they, and this is why in the twilight of my youth, you say, I got to pay. This is why in the twilight of my life, I got to pass on down the history to Brother Che's generation, man, so I can go right before my ancestors.
Before we go off the air, I want to ask you two questions. Well, first of all, I want to ask you about what topic would you like to concentrate on Friday? And number two, what do you think about the situation with the economic community of West African states and Niger in France right now? What do you think about what's going on over there?
Okay.
I support it.
Great subject, Sarge.
Good job.
You're going to be the guest host.
Good job.
Okay,
keep it
I appreciate
up.
What
I
Niger is
doing. I support the president
doing.
Of Burkina Faso. The young man, he about my age. He doing a damn thing.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Patrice Lumumba. I support everything that he's doing. And they're gonna all the European former European colonies need to unite against the European empires and tell them
exactly.
to tell off
because
their
if
land
it wasn't for Africa, the European economy
resources.
And the U.S. economy will crumble because see they want all our minerals
their
right
resources.
There. And this is why Mr. Mugabe, and this is why Mr. Mugabe, when he said down there in Zimbabwe, when he was the president, you know, when the Rhodesians, you know, who, and they named Rhodesia after Cecil Rhodes,
He said, well, man, you know, well, we want equal rights here. And Mugabe says, no, nah, man, you know, you want equal rights, man, you go take your ass back to Europe. This is our land right here.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? This ain't your land. And the same thing with them damn boers down there in Azania. And the proper name of South Africa is Azania.
It's Exania.
Why do you think we play? Okay. Why do you think we play African Sunset, Joe? Why do you think we play I'm a Pondo? Do you know who that is? Now, let's see how smart you guys are. You're smart. You can handle things. Okay, Porfredo. Okay, all right. Okay, you know who Mama Africa is? And do you know her story?
Well, Sarge might know.
I know Sarge might know, but I want to know if Joe knows. She was also the wife of Kwame Ture. She was also the wife of one of the greatest musical geniuses from
A.K.A. Stokely Carmichael.
Okay,
yeah,
okay,
that's
okay.
The government.
Sarge,
I said A.K.A. All right.
Sarge. Anytime that a black man drops the name of the rape and slave trade and pedophile that owns his family, man, that is a huge, great disrespect. Ask Floyd Patterson, you know what I'm saying, when he fought a guy here in Las Vegas.
I know that, man, but...
Not everybody
is aware of that. When you speak of him, he did have a history under the name of Stokely Carmichael, just like Muhammad Ali had a history under the name of Cassius Clay. For help for illumination, so let's make people aware of it.
Okay, I've never heard of Cassius Clay. I'm not going to disrespect that brother's memory like that, you know, considering the sacrifice that he had made, Sarge, you say, which was the prime of his youth. You see, he sacrificed his prime years. Muhammad Ali never had a prime, you know, in his boxing years, you see. But he made the ultimate sacrifice, and I'm not going to repeat his words. It's because I put it up there on Facebook, what he said about the Vietnam War, and Facebook, now we're going to ban you 30 days, and he say something like this here again, we're going to kill your account. So, you know, so there's your tyranny and hypocrisy right there, so much for the freedom of speech. Okay, now you see, Joe.
You know, I don't like that. You know, I don't like
in America. Okay, now Joe.
First Amendment
never had
the Bill of Rights didn't even apply to us, and it still don't. So
yeah, exactly.
We have no free speech. We have no right to bear arms. We have no right to unlawful search and seizure.
Really?
No, we don't. Look what they did to the Black Panthers in California, man.
Well,
the New World Order is splitting Africa right now into two continents. So if you're not paying attention,
we'll see that.
Reset,
okay, but hold
Joe.
On, no,
Joe,
but hold on, Joe.
The New World
this
Order
is
don't
why
exist.
The,
it's the new.
Oh yes, it does.
It's the, no, it don't. It's the Great Reset. You're behind on the terminology.
That's
not even called the New World Order anymore.
I studied the New
it's
World
the
Order
great
30
reset.
Years.
The
reset is just
reset.
A small part.
It's the Great Reset.
Okay, but you see, Joe. Okay, but Joe, if Africa unites as one fist and says, guess what, we're not giving up this crumb, we're not giving up this bucksack, we're not giving up this silicon, we're not giving
what
up these diamonds.
What do you mean?
How will they unite?
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but this is why Africa has to unite, but the Europeans and the
Remember
United
when,
States
go
through
there
with so many diversions
in
every type.
Need
oh, well, we need China
no,
up
y'all
up
y'all
out
need
Africa.
Us. Y'all need us. Y'all need us. Y'all need our land. Y'all need our resources. You need us to do anything.
I'm not sure about that, but China obviously needs your land because then they're doing a great job of dividing up Africa
those are neo-colonialists. Those are nothing more than neo-colonialists, Joe. Why do you think Gaddafi got knocked off? Okay. Because, see, Gaddafi had guaranteed his citizens an income, a share of the oil.
They also stopped immigration to Europe. That's why they knocked them off, because they wanted immigration going up to Europe to destroy Europe.
Okay, no. They wanted that free labor in Europe, just like in the United States.
There's no free labor.
Okay, but hold on. Okay, now, yes, here's one for you,
labor,
Sarge.
Bro.
I got to ask. Yeah, okay. I have to ask Sarge this question. Now, Sarge,
okay,
you're familiar with Chi-Town. Okay, Sarge, why is the Chicago Police Department letting immigrants go in there, sleep on the floors inside of Chicago police stations?
Now, that's a good question. Why do you think they're doing that, huh? That's a damn good question. Why is that? Because
okay,
the Chicago
officers
damn sure don't want it. So why is that happening?
Okay, now let me ask you this here, Sarge. Now, suppose if homeless black people of Chicago, let's say in the months of November, January, man, February, going to the Chicago Police Department and say, hey, man, you know, it's cold out there. You know, we're going
to
shelter in place right here. You know what would happen to them, Sarge. You know it, Joe. You know it. But, Joe, but if you went in there with your people and did that, they'll say, okay, man, go make yourself comfortable over here. But me and Brother Chad,
no, I think,
he,
like you said,
the
illegal immigrants can go in there, but I can't go in there, neither can you, because, like I said, the new world
no,
order.
No, none of us can go in there,
I,
man. I don't know what you're talking about. Ain't none of us going to be able to go in there.
That's right.
Are you serious?
But I'm looking
hell
at,
no. That's their
Sarge.
Sarge. No.
Check out the Chicago Sun-Times. Check out the Chicago Sun-Times, Sarge. Check out the Chicago Tribune, Sarge. I'm a little bit familiar with Chicago. You know, the Sears Tower, Jan Hancock Tower, Water Tower, Navy Pier. You
and
know
what white
I'm
people
saying?
Are trying to get into homeless shelters?
I'm sorry?
What white people are trying to get into homeless shelters for illegal aliens?
Illegal immigrants
are
filling up the homeless shelters.
Yeah, where are these white people trying to get into homeless shelters for illegal aliens?
Okay, where are the white people going to get into the homeless shelters for illegal aliens, okay? Your question is
yeah, where are these white people trying to get in an illegal alien homeless shelter?
The
why are they trying
to
get
in the house before anybody else, Stars?
I don't think I'd be the last one to get benefits, to be honest with you, to get anything free from this government.
No, Joe, you got the complexion for the protection in this nation, man.
I don't know about that,
Chewbacca.
Okay. I don't know about that.
You got
$1 million
worth of white privilege and white skin. So, yeah, you'll be good,
man. I don't think any American citizen is getting much protection from their government these days. I don't think any American citizen is, black or white.
That's right.
Let me ask you this here, Sarge, and let me ask you this here, Joe. Show me when the black people go petition the U.S. government to become citizens here.
When did that happen? When did that occur?
They already are.
What
do you mean when?
Okay. No.
When did that?
Show me on documentation, Sarge. You're very well read. And plus that, Joe, you're very well read. I give you that because I'm looking at your calculation here in the chat room. Show me when people descended.
I'm going to ask Google.
Slaves, yeah.
What,
when did we petition the government?
All right, well, I'll give you a very famous example of a black man who petitioned the United States government for his citizenship as a resident of Illinois. It's called Dred Scott, 1857.
Dred Scott petitioned the United States government
to be recognized as a citizen of the United States because of his residency as a citizen of the state of Illinois, where the state of Illinois granted him citizenship. And at that time, if you were a citizen of any state, you were a citizen of the United States, and the Supreme Court said, no, the Constitution does not apply to you.
Yeah, right there was Roger C. Taney. Okay. Dred Scott.
Come over to the Republic, Chewbacca.
Right here.
You and your fans, come over to the Republic.
No, you asked me when did the United States, when did a black man petition the United States to be a citizen?
No,
and that's one of the earliest examples I know of.
No, Sarge, that is not what Chewbacca was saying. He said we. He didn't say one black person. He said
right.
We. Meaning,
he didn't clarify that.
American
on the collective basis.
When, did freedmen petition the United States to become citizens? What date was that?
Okay. I don't remember the exact date, but that couldn't have come before the passage of the 14th Amendment, so it would have to have been after 1868.
Okay, no, the Dred Scott case decision happened in
1857. That was 1856.
Okay, I'm trying to pull it up right now.
I just looked it up,
Bobby. It's
1857.
It was before the Civil War,
so
anyway.
Saying correct. Yeah, okay. And
before the Civil War.
March 6th, 1857.
Okay, and then pull up Roger C. Chaney. Let's see, Roger C. Chaney, who was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court at that time. Okay, backstage,
Roger C. Chaney.
They let us hold it long, but
Okay. And
yeah, remember now, they told him, even though the Constitution said that the reason if you were accepted as a citizen in any state,
is not
that meant you were a
citizen
of the United States.
According to the Constitution.
But the state could make a citizen. And the state of Illinois said that Mr. Scott was a citizen by virtue of the amount of time he spent there as a legal resident. The state of Illinois said he was
running for.
Statehood in whatever individual state at that, for example, Illinois, but you didn't have nationality.
Exactly, that's the point I'm trying to make. See, the way
so
before they passed the before they passed the 14th Amendment, if you were a citizen of any state, you are automatically, de jure, a citizen of the United States. Now, they reversed that with the 14th Amendment. But the state of Illinois, by virtue of Illinois law, the amount of time Dred Scott spent there while his new master had brought him to Illinois, he was a Union Army doctor, federal Army doctor, and he brought him to Illinois from Missouri, and was assigned there. And by virtue of his residency in Illinois, he was eligible to be a citizen of Illinois. Right. He was eligible to be a citizen of Illinois under Illinois law. And on that basis, he petitioned the Supreme Court to be a citizen of the United States. And Justice Chaney rendered an unconstitutional decision that said he was not a citizen of the United States because he could not be.
But there's more to it, Sarge. You're leaving this part out. Scott traveled to free territory among those places in Minnesota, and the claim had been that the persons who were held as slaves who resided in free soil became free themselves. Now Scott lives in this Minnesota territory. He meets his wife, Harriet. They begin to have a family. They marry, and then finally they return to St. Louis, where they are still held as slaves. And by the early 1950s, I think they were concerned that they would be sold, that their family might be separated. They were always at risk as enslaved people.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Do you remember Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson? What did
Okay, yeah, because Jefferson was a rapist.
Don't red herring this argument. We're talking about a different subject now. France is a sovereign nation. France is a sovereign nation. Thomas Jefferson went there to be the United States diplomat to France. If Sally Hemings spent a certain amount of time in France, by virtue of French law, a sovereign nation, she was going to be a free person. And Thomas Jefferson pointed that out to her. And she still elected to come back to the United States with him.
Okay,
even though she could have stayed in France She could have stayed in France and become free.
Okay. But you got to keep in mind is that not only was the slave in physical bondage, he was also a mental bondage. And in the Dred Scott case right there, Roger C. Taney had stated African Americans cannot, nor were they ever intended to be citizens of the United States. Okay, that
well, he was wrong constitutionally.
Fact.
He was wrong.
Okay, but
it was like Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade created an abortion right out of thin air. And that's what Roger Taney did the same thing when he disregarded the state's abilities to make a person a citizen in their state and therefore a citizen of the United States. Justice Taney decided to disregard the Constitution just like those Supreme Court justices did in 1972. What's the big deal? Like it ain't happened before?
Okay, hold on, Sarge. And what you just said right there, Sarge, supported our platform for reparations right there. And, Sarge, I did never think that you'll endorse reparations, sir.
Here's where you screwed up. You just screwed up now. There was a particular set of circumstances with regard to Dred Scott. Those circumstances did not exist for every person that was enslaved.
But you see, Sarge.
So
Dred Scott, then you would have a case. If they met the criteria and the circumstances that Dred Scott was under. But that was not
was
true
the
for the vast majority
the
of slaves.
Okay, Sarge, let me ask you a question, Sarge. Okay. You
now, I know you're
going to
disregard what I just said.
Okay. Okay, but Sarge, I'm going to use your logic, Sarge. Okay. We're going to use an individual, you know, who is in a restaurant that used a napkin holder, man, you know, as a weapon to defend himself. And we're going to compare that to the chairman of Montgomery, who was attacked, okay, that took a multi-purpose device. It's called a folding chair. And as we have stated before, it's a multi-purpose folding device when your ass gets tired, you can sit down and rest your ass. But then when you fold it up, you could use it to whoop some ass to preserve your very existence, something called self-defense. You see, Sarge and Joe, what we have here is two different standards right here of law which applies to people of African descent.
The color of law.
Also, too.
You seem to forget, Chewbacca, I saw that videotape. That man decided to voluntarily enter an affray. He voluntarily entered it. He was not in imminent danger of being assaulted. He decided to enter the affray.
Was the co-captain of the riverboat who went up there and told these drunken skunks to move that raggedy-ass canoe up out the way because we got to dock the riverboat. So what did these good old boys do, Sarge? They turned over their sour mash. They turned over their Jack Daniels. They turned over their Jim Beam. Well, you know, you ain't going to tell us what to do. And then they go up there and jump on this
Chewbacca,
man. And then even
I agree with
guy,
you about them drunken rednecks. I'm talking about the fact that the police were on the scene trying to restore order. If there had been a policeman in that restaurant at the time before I whacked that guy upside the head, I would never have whacked him upside the head. I would have told the police officer, this guy won't let me leave the restaurant. Hey, officer, this guy is blocking me in my attempts to leave the restaurant. Would you please stop him?
Okay, besides,
do you not understand the distinction?
Sarge, were you off duty when you hit the man?
I saw the video. Now, don't tell me I didn't see what I saw.
Oh, but that's what y'all always tell us.
Y'all always tell us that.
You didn't see it, just me.
All right, but I'm saying, man, the cops were there. There wasn't no cop there when I was trying to defend myself. The cops are trying to restore order. And this guy gets up there with a chair and keeps whacking somebody, and the police are right there. That ain't the same thing.
Sarge, the man was hit several times. I counted that this man absorbed 23 blows from four different individuals. Okay, and then there was even one white guy who tried
that
to help him.
That was
the
executive officer that got hit, not him, not the guy with the chair.
The white teenager, he tried to intervene, and they attacked him.
And they smashed him. So what had happened is that Aquaman was off the boat before it docked. And that young man goes off in that water, and he got up there, and he started putting some work on them.
You see, and so then, and then the chairman of Montgomery,
remember,
you know, made himself famous. Okay, as that he had folded the chair and he got to putting work in there, you know, and oops upside your head and giving out a few headaches and what have you. And if I was to sit on that man's jury, that man is innocent of all charges.
Well, I might rule the same way, too. You know, hey, Shabaka, I might rule the same way, too, if I'm confronted with all that evidence. The point I'm trying to make is there was no police officer in that restaurant when that guy was keeping me from leaving the restaurant. I'm trying to get out of the restaurant, and he was repeatedly blocking my path.
Okay, that's attempted kidnapping, Sarge.
Okay,
that's
so I'm saying I defended myself. Now, they got police officers on the scene, and they're telling everybody to back off, stop fighting. We're here now. We're going to restore order, and he keeps hitting somebody. I'm going to lock him up, too.
Right there.
I'm
going to
lock him up, too.
Okay, they ended the show,
Sarge,
folks.
Is this
they ended
you
the show.
Or this is after.
They ended the show. They pulled the plug on us, folks. You know, it says up here on the board, the episode
it's
ended.
It's too hot up in here, man. They can't handle it. They can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, we've been saying this on this platform for the last 7 years.
Right.
Now, it just proved the point to you, Sarge. And the cool part about it, Sarge, you was in there.
Yeah, I ain't got no complaint about you, Shabaka. You know that. It's just that you disregard so much of what I say, and I pay attention to everything you say. Everything.
No, I didn't just say I disregard everything you said, Sarge. You know what I'm saying is that I listen to you, okay, and I'm putting it over
and
here
I respond to everything.
Bird.
Every time you give me an opportunity to respond to you, that's what I do. I respond directly to the things that you say every single time.
Okay, Sarge. Okay, great. Beautiful. You know what I'm saying? And I'm putting it up here on Stinky Bird, you know, spreading around. And please, folks, spread the episode around, you know, share all our episodes. And then also,
man, look at, what do you
want to
talk about on Friday? What do you want to talk about on Friday? Okay, let me know.
Oh, Sarge,
what do you
want to
talk about?
Okay, Sarge, would you be a guest host
what do you
on
want
Friday?
To talk about, Sarge?
No. I already know the subject for him. The dump, as in human shit, after he goes to get booked on Thursday.
Oh, that would be a great topic, then. Good. I applaud that one. I'm ready for you right now. I'm ready for that right now.
Okay, well, Sarge.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. Let's get it on. Hell yeah.
Now. Okay, and then
oh,
I'm
64
years old, Sarge, and tonight was one of our greatest episodes going if they don't shadow ban us. Again, okay, folks.
Right.
You know what I'm saying. Please follow the link. Follow us on X or Tweety Bird, and then also too, as we all know, is that old Elon Musk. You know, he didn't pay his permit in the city of San Francisco to put the X up there on top of his building. That sits right there, folks, on the corner of 10th and Market Street. And Brother Paris will tell you that I did a live feed from there. And then as you go around the corner from that multi-billion organization to the San Francisco Public Library, you will see some of the most abject poverty of homelessness right there. And Sarge, and guess what, Sarge? This is really going to blow your mind. It's two blocks away from the California State Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I was in that same plaza.
What is?
The United Nations Plaza over there in San Francisco, because Stinky Bird, you know, he's headquartered right there on the corner of 10th and Market Street.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Right there. You see? And then you go two blocks over heading toward the Golden Gate Bridge, which would be northbound from there. And
I know,
then you'll be into the United Nations Plaza.
The first time I was in San Francisco, I marched from 16th and Market to 10th and Market.
Oh, yeah. So you went right by his front door.
Yeah.
And at that time, I think old Cop Mahler was the district attorney of San Francisco County, and her office was right over there in Brooks Hall, San Francisco City Hall, where she had her illegal affair with then-Mayor Willie Brown, and he was 60, she was 30, and then his wife divorced him, you know, for infidelity. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, folks, you know, so much for the current vice president of the United States. Okay, folks.
The passage of time.
We just up here.
But the passage of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the episode is ended, gentlemen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bid you all a good night.
All right.
And also, too, Brother Che, if you can, man, spread this episode far and wide, providing
they don't shadow ban us. They've been getting on us on sharing stuff in groups. They said, oh, you shared
too
many groups.
Keep up the good fight, Shabaka. And then,
you know, spread it around to, you know, copy and paste the link, you know what I mean? And it's up there on Tweety Bird already. So go to Shabaka, capital EXP on Tweety Bird. And please share that link right there as well, too. And also, too, Dr. Joyce DeGruy, we appreciate the great work that you're in the process of concluding, ma'am. And then also, too, about the new Jim Crow. And then also, too, a shout-out there to Dr. Rosa Parks, who we would like to have on this platform as well, too, of the great work that she's doing on this COVID nonsense. And then Bill Gates should be locked up for human rights violations.
Along with Fauci.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't forget Fauci.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Okay, you forget who?
Would you all do me a favor, please?
The leprechaun. Don't forget the leprechaun, Shabaka.
Would you all do me a favor, please?
Sir. What's that?
Whatever you do, do not tell the United States government that I own 9 AR-15s in various calibers, one AR-10 and 7.62 by 308, 51 rather, 7.62 by 51. Don't tell them I own 2 12-gauge shotguns, a 45 caliber M1911 A1 pistol, and a 9mm Model 59 Smith & Wesson pistol. Don't tell them because I ain't supposed to have the right to keep their arms. Say nothing to thousands of rounds of ammunition I own. Don't tell them.
Okay,
I don't want them to know.
Sarge, it sounds like Sarge right there, Sarge. You are in point
don't
number
tell
seven.
Him. Please, keep it a secret.
Oh, absolutely, Sarge.
They
yeah, most definitely.
Thank you. Okay. Okay.
All righty. Okay, folks, we've been you a good night, and I'm signing out the show because we're just up here just talking because, you know, we're off the air. And we appreciate everybody, you know, that participated tonight.
Thanks,
okay, Shabaka. Have a nice night. From Las Vegas, from Sin City, yeah.
In Mile High Income City.
Yeah.
Can I at least say thank you for letting me participate, even though I might feel a bit like Rudolph, you know, I'm still trying to find my white privilege, but I do appreciate your time.
John Doe, John Doe, boy, I tell you, you're just an unknown citizen, ain't you?
Hey, I'm trying. Thank you for
right.
the confidence.
All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. And check it us out on the Friday morning at 11 a.m. in the Eastern Coast. You know, our guest host will be Sarge. And then if you would like Brother Paris, if you could please type it up, you know what I mean? If you can, if your schedule permits, but if it doesn't, you know, let me know, man, because I got to give me some rest for a minute, and then I'll type it up. And Sarge, we got you there as a guest host, and if you go AWOL this time, Sarge, we're gonna court martial.
I ain't going down to Columbus. I'm staying right here in Rockdale County. I got good reception on my cell phone. It ain't gonna happen here.
Yes, sir. Okay, Sarge, so we'll see you there, 11 a.m. your time on Friday morning with Grand Rising with Shabaka. And then, of course, everybody wants to watch, which is getting ready to happen down there in Fulton County with the dump and what have you. You know what I mean? I can't wait. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be sitting out there looking at that ringside. Okay,
it's going to be a triumph for the Donald. Trust me. It's going to be a triumph.
Okay. Well, Sarge, why do you think we say the dump as in human shit?
Because you got Trump derangement syndrome. I understand that. I understand that you do. But I'm telling you that Donald Trump is going to turn it into a triumph like Julius Caesar crossing the Rubicon.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Like Mansa Musa? Hold it, Sarge. Or do you mean like Mansa
that
Musa,
too.
Man?
That too.
Shaka
Whatever
Zulu.
Great conqueror you want to put in there, be my guest.
Okay. Yeah. But you see, Sarge, from my perspective, Sarge, we check out our African.
And he was
ancestors.
A conqueror, by the way. He was also a conqueror of his fellow Africans. Let's not pretend he wasn't.
Okay, hold on, Sarge. But see, but like what King Shaka did, he didn't enslave his people, man, that he went and conquered. He simply incorporated them into the empire.
Okay. Yeah, and had them
Matthew
provide the slaves for him so
thing.
He could sell them.
Okay.
Yeah, he had
no,
two men, middlemen
Matthew,
do it for him.
No, okay, but hold on, Sarge. Is that what it is that their family units were still intact. He did not violate their woman. They did not sodomize the guys, you
okay.
know, because that's strictly a European
okay.
thing, you know, because
okay.
you,
he had
you know,
kinder,
you had
a kinder, gentler version
dudes.
Of slavery. Is that it?
No, Sarge. It's being incorporated into the empire.
Okay.
Let's look at it this
I
way,
like
Sarge.
Euphemisms.
Okay,
I
hold
like
on,
euphemisms.
Sarge. Just like, okay, but hold on,
oh,
Sarge. Just like when that sick guy dropped that atomic bomb on Japan, you know what I'm saying, and changed the whole concept of modern-day warfare, that was barbaric. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I'll tell you what, an invasion of Japan and at least 6 to 10 million dead Japanese and another 300,000 or so dead Americans, I tell you what do you think should have been done?
Okay, only thing I can say about that.
Japanese going to fight to the death, man. They made that clear. They had all. I've read
okay.
their plans for resistance.
Okay, but also, too, because, see, but that is from the
yeah,
samurai.
They were compensated, too.
Charge. Okay, you see, because the samurai was the
but,
ruling
but,
class,
but you said
Sarge.
It was barbaric, and you're right, it was. When you drop bombs
okay.
like that on a civilian population, that is barbaric. But what is also
yeah.
barbaric would have been another 6 or 7 million dead people as a result of an invasion of Japan from people who were fanatically determined to fight to the death, and they meant
Sarge.
It.
Okay, Sarge. Okay,
Sarge.
Sarge.
Is
okay,
Japan
but just
still
like...
permitted from having its own army?
Yeah, it is.
Constitutionally, they restrict their army to self-defense force. Constitutionally.
Yeah, but they're under the orders of the U.S. that they was part of the because
not anymore.
Now
they're a completely sovereign country. That's not true. They're completely sovereign.
Okay no, but what
they're
saying
they
is
have their own constitution, and by they keep that constitution in effect. They can look. The United States did impose an entirely new government on Japan. They made the emperor
mm-hmm.
a figurehead. They gave women the vote.
Mm-hmm.
They gave individual
mm-hmm.
people individual rights, much as the American Constitution does. They had
mm-hmm.
the democratic right to vote in most of their affairs. And they could amend their Constitution anytime they get ready. They're completely sovereign from the United States. They have elected not to. They want to keep their armed forces small, even their great Navy. Remember, once upon a time, when they challenged the United States and the Allies, well, they had one of the greatest navies in the world. And they
yep.
have decided
okay.
not to resurrect it. They decided
okay,
not to resurrect
about,
it.
Okay, and you're talking about like Admiral Yamamoto, who went
I'm
there.
I'm talking about a great navy.
It.
They had an outstanding navy. I mean, their navy
okay,
was the first
on.
Great navy. It was probably the number two or number three navy in the world at the time.
Okay, now hold on, Sarge. Now, you know when these dudes went there and bombed Pearl Harbor and they came back to the ship, right? And they reported to Admiral
yeah.
Yamamoto. Okay, and Admiral Yamamoto said that they
were
going to
Nagumo.
No,
Yamamoto was not in direct command. It was Admiral Nagumo. He was the on-site
Sarge.
Commander.
Sorry.
Okay, but I'm talking
Japan,
about Admiral Yamamoto.
Japan is a,
is
a unitary state and constitutional monarchy. In which the power of the emperor is limited to a ceremonial role.
Exactly.
That was one of the conditions of surrender.
That
Hirohito had to give up all his authoritative power.
Yeah, but the Japanese wanted him to remain in place as a titular head, and that's one thing that they had to have in order to give unconditional surrender otherwise. That was the only condition they demanded.
Okay, Sarge. Well, we'll see you Friday morning, 11 a.m. your time.
I have to give all props. When it comes to